At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every basket, every game, every point, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar, whether it's a three-pointer at the buzzer to tie the game or a player goes 2 for 2 at the foul line.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Wow, it's Nature Stone.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner, funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus. Windows and doors that go beyond.
And here we go. Welcome in to another edition of Rothman and Ice. I'm Matty Ice. Got my man CB across the glass doing his thing on the board. And to my left is my man Ryan Baker. Bake Show, happy Monday. How you feeling, man?
I'm feeling good, Matty. We're both in here wearing Reds hats today. Yes, so sir. How could anything be,
yes, sir,
be going wrong?
You know, feeling a little better after we had to come back from Seattle and licking our wounds and dropping three. And we picked up three against Mike Trout and company this weekend. Hope everybody had a nice weekend. Thanks for coming in and giving us some of your time. Got a nice show planned out for you guys. We got Brendan Deague, 1233, covers the NFL for The Score, 133. John Keim, the former Buckeye, covers the Washington Commanders for ESPN. We'll get his take on what they may do at number two and a lot more. Then 233, one of our favorites returns, and Mr. Charles Davis, NFL Network draft analyst, and a lot more. Bake, we've officially arrived at NFL Draft Week. This is one of my favorite events on the sports calendar. I cannot wait to get to Thursday.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. Unfortunately, though, CB and I were talking. I mean, the Browns don't pick till 54 here. So, I mean, it's going to be a
little waiting game.
Kind of a dead Thursday night for us Browns fans.
Little waiting game.
But yeah, I mean, the NFL draft, there's a lot of intrigue at the top of the draft here with who's going to make the moves for these quarterbacks, who's going to take all the picks and drop back, and who's going to go where. Always drama. Jaden Daniels and the Washington Redskins. Maybe they don't love each other anymore, and all kinds of fun
stuff. Yeah, we'll get into it all throughout the show. But since draft week is here, it's only right that we spin this. I mean, that just gets me fired up for the draft. I cannot wait to get to it, whether it's ESPN, NFL Network. They've kind of merged their coverage together over the years. So Charles Davis, a guy we'll have on at 2:33 today, you will see on both ESPN and NFL Network come Thursday night. Before we get rolling, want to send a big shout out to the Columbus Fury. They hosted AR and I on Friday for their match against Atlanta, which they won, took out one of the top teams in the league. So thank you for having us there. They've got another home game on Friday, so go out and support those women. And then tonight here in our city, you and I and CB and all the big wrestling fans, we got Monday Night Raw in the city over at The Shot. And my boy Jey Uso is going to be yeeting all over The Shot tonight, man. I cannot wait to see what that's all about.
Going to be in the building tonight. Excited for that. Should be a fun Monday night. A lot going on here, Rothman and Ice, with you. Then tonight over at The Shot, and then back at it tomorrow. So
sounds like a great couple hours, couple days for you right there. CB, how was the weekend? Anything fun happen on your side of things?
No, pretty easy for me. It's, you know, we're trying to take it easy until we got a big week ahead with the draft coming up.
Yeah, man, good stuff. I saw the movie Civil War this weekend. I don't know if you guys have seen the trailer for that floating around, an A24 production. Highly recommend that movie if you're into that type of thing. Good stuff there. Don't want to spoil anything visually. It was absolutely incredible. So that was my weekend, man. I saw Civil War, kicked it with my friends, watched a lot of the NBA games, a lot of the playoff stuff around sports. So it was a good time for me. But here now locally for us, especially in the basketball world, there is a lot of intriguing news going on. A lot of things happened over the weekend, and one thing became official over the last hour or two up in Ann Arbor, which is Roddy Gale is now a Michigan Wolverine. So you have that news combined with Felix Okpara this weekend announcing that he has entered the transfer portal as well. So we've got this Dusty May, Jake Diebler era off to a very spicy, intriguing start. When you look at Roddy, his time here in Columbus, solid player, right? Solid player. I think for some people, he was a little inconsistent at times with his play, but that's going to happen when you're dealing with college kids. That's just what the game is. But for Roddy now, hopping across enemy lines and joining Dusty May, a coach that I know some people here in Columbus wanted based off of what he did at FAU. It's a very, very intriguing move here by Mr. Gale to link up with a young and up and coming coach who a lot of people think highly of. And he's obviously now staying in the Big Ten.
Yeah, unfortunately, Roddy, I can't root for you now moving forward. Zed Key going to Dayton, I can root for you all day long. But Roddy, I can't root for you. I know it's a different world. I hate seeing Michigan guys coming to Ohio State and Ohio State guys going to Michigan, vice versa. I know the vitriol and the hate with the players probably isn't there like it used to be and whatnot. But it's a nice, you know, it's a good piece for Michigan, a depth piece, but I don't think it's anything that's going to come back and bite Ohio State personally.
I think on the other side for Ohio State, you have a guy in Michi Johnson who can slide in, right, and maybe soak up some of the things that Roddy left on the table, if you will, with his scoring prowess and what he was able to do down at South Carolina. And I honestly think when you look at the Felix situation, with that being paired with Roddy and how that went down, you look at Roddy and you look at the Michi situation. And now we've got the situation with Felix, with him going in to the portal and Bradshaw coming in. Maybe these guys were looking around and saying, okay, you know what? I like it at Ohio State, but in this new NIL world, we've got guys coming in and trying to take stuff off my plate, maybe take a little bit out of my bank account. We don't know how that now works with all the financials in the NIL world. So I can understand why guys like to move on to different opportunities because of what you just heard right there. And I don't know that to be the case in both of these situations, but I wouldn't be surprised if that plays a role now in some of these moves by these guys to not only look at and say, well, you're bringing in a guy that either plays the exact same position as I do or similar position as I do, but depending on the pie and how that's split up over there, when we talk money, that's got to be a thing that weighs on these guys too.
Yeah, I heard Bo Bishop talking earlier on Bishop and Friends about this, and he said maybe Felix had his NIL deal set and Aaron Bradshaw comes in and is getting a little bit more than him, and he's like, hey, I want to get that. I've been here. I want that much. And, well, we don't have that for you. You took this. This is what you agreed to. You know, I don't know how all that goes and whatnot. It's just unfortunately the world we live in. You know, we live in a world now where Duke has 10 players leaving their roster this year. One to graduation, two to the NBA, and then seven that have entered the transfer portal. So this is just the way it's going to be. I know a lot of people were really shocked and upset about this news with Felix Akpara. He said he was staying. Well, yeah, he said he was staying, but there was no Aaron Bradshaw in the equation then. So that changes things a little bit. Like, people talked about Devin Brown and burning the boats and I'm here. Well, if your captain changes ship on you, I mean, you can go. You know, I would never be mad at Devin Brown if he leaves Ohio State. I don't think he's going to, but if he left when they went and got another guy to try to replace him. So, you know, the Akpara stuff, I do think the defensive ability around the rim, blocking shots, I think that's going to be hard to replace. But I think everything else with Felix Akpara is kind of replaced already. With Aaron Bradshaw, now they probably need to go get another big with one of these two spots left so you can have some depth there. The only other guy you got is Austin Parks, who was a freshman that didn't play much last year. But I'm not as upset about this as some people are.
I'm not upset. I do think it's a pretty significant hit based off of what you highlighted and the skill set that he did bring to the floor. Sure, I think we could all want him to be maybe more of a complete, you know, basketball player, maybe do a little bit more on the offensive end. But I think when you have that type of guy that other offenses have to worry about every single time you get down into the paint or in the mid-range area, that's a big deal. Because I think offensively out there on the perimeter, when you look at what Michi can do and what Bruce can do, and we'll see what other moves that they can make. I know CB's a big Towson guy, the guy from Oakland. We'll see if they can bring him in. I think the latest on him is that he's still visiting Louisville? Is that the correct report here? What's
there's
the latest
mixed reporting
on that?
All okay. over the place on this. Okay. I know there's been reports from 24/7 that he is still making the visit, but then I saw a guy from Card Chronicle who covers Louisville himself said that he did not make the visit.
Okay, so we'll be in wait and see mode with that. But if they can get a guy like him, I think to replace maybe some of what Battle did out on the wing, don't know if he's the exact type of sniper that you have there, then I think we'll feel pretty good about it. You brought up a key there. They have to go get another big unless they feel Parks is ready to really level up. I don't know how they feel about him exactly at the moment, but with Bradshaw now, what you're betting on is the potential of what he was coming out of high school showing itself consistently. Didn't get a major opportunity last year at Kentucky. Played about 13 minutes a night. So now that obviously is going to change. I think he's going to get a lot on his plate and we'll see what he can do. But coming out of high school, he was a highly touted recruit. So now it's on Coach Diebler, that staff, to really get in the lab with him and help him showcase who he can really be.
And we mentioned bigs. Ohio State had two bigs actually visit this week. One of them being Sam Walters of Alabama. He's a 6'10". He was a freshman last year. A little more, maybe a stretch. 4 or 5 can go outside, hit the outside shot a little bit. And you also had Tucker Anderson, a 6'9 kid from Central Arkansas, in this week as well. So you already have a couple bigs visiting. Then we mentioned Duke, Sean Stewart, a 6'9 post player, hit the transfer portal as well. So there are options out there. You mentioned Trey Townsend. He's a guy 6'6, 230 pounds. We saw his offensive ability for Oakland this year, dropping 30 in an NCAA tournament game. He's a guy that, you know, big, strong, could go play inside a little more as well. So definitely options. Trey Townsend's a guy that I think Ohio State has all their eggs in that basket right now, and I think for good reason.
So out the door, we've seen Roddy Gale, Felix Okparo, Scotty Middleton, Zed Key, and Hardman. Out the door, in the door so far, it's been Parrish Bradshaw and Michi Johnson.
And Micah Parrish, that's also news from this weekend, yes, because he committed on Saturday. He's a 6'6 guy from San Diego State, so he's had experience playing in the tournament, making long runs the past couple of years. A very good defender on the wing. You're going to get that experience, the defensive ability there, and he played with Trey Townsend at Oakland before he went to San Diego State.
There we go. So maybe get in his ear a little bit and say, hey, big dog, come on down to C-Bus.
He did start hitting the social medias, tagging Trey Townsend after he said he's coming here.
I like it. Speaking of social media, CB made me aware that apparently Roddy Gale has changed his profile picture on Twitter to what, my friend? What is he rocking out with now?
It's the Joker photo where he's got the car doing the trick.
Okay, so he's leaning into the villain role right now. He's leaning.
But Bruce Thornton did respond to his post about his commitment saying, congrats, but we'll see you soon.
Okay, there we go.
I love it already.
We'll smoke there between the two. So that'll be fun. Just an odd off season, and I say that just because we talk about some of the moves we've seen, and I'm going to bake in football here as well, right? You got Roddy going to Michigan. You got Tony Alford also going to Michigan as well. So the sticker shock with that is absolutely eye-opening, because I'm with you in what you said off the top, Bake. You see some of these moves, right, with Michigan guys going to Ohio State and vice versa. It can be pretty eye-opening. But that's the latest now in the Ohio State basketball world. Felix Okparo hits the portal, and Roddy Gale joins Dusty May up in Ann Arbor. Coming up, when it comes to a specific position group in this year's draft, Mel Kiper says a Buckeye is his favorite amongst all the guys he's competing with, and it is not Marvin Harrison Jr. We'll tell you who that is next. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
The Big Nine was a sad, incomplete place. Enter Ohio State. The rest is history. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every goal, every game, every point, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a game-winning goal in the final seconds of OT or a shot on goal in the first period.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Again.
This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus. Windows and doors that go beyond.
Welcome back in. Matty Ice, Ryan Baker, our guy Bake filling in for AR today. Hope you all had a nice weekend. You know, AR's up in Chicago hanging out with his pops for his birthday. Every time I think of Chicago, my mind goes to Deep Dish Pizza, man. He just, I love it.
I'm great. Now I'm hungry.
Yeah,
thank
I mean,
you.
It's just, I love it. I absolutely love Deep Dish Pizza. Your go-to toppings, Baker, on your pizza?
I'm a meat guy. Okay. So, you know, pepperoni and bacon, usually my favorite, but I'll do some, I've done chicken before, ground beef, sausage, all of it. I'm a meat guy.
Meat lover's type of guy. I'm not mad at that at all.
I don't love the ham, I guess, that much. I'll do it, but it's not my favorite on a pizza.
Okay,
but
I usually stay in the sausage and pepperoni lane. That's usually my lane. Throw a little banana peppers on that thing, and we can rock out there. I'm absolutely all in. You're right. I might get a little pizza now tonight.
I like the flavor of the banana pepper, but I don't want to chew it. I don't want that texture in my mouth.
Really?
I don't like that.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. All right, not mad at that. Not mad at that at all. So the draft is here. We are officially inside of draft week. I absolutely love it. And we can't wait to see what's going to happen with the Buckeyes this year. Maybe not as many Buckeyes this year getting drafted as we've seen in past years. But I think that's going to change next year based off of what this team could look like here in Columbus in a few months. But this year, we know at the top, the guy that's gotten talked about the most and has the most buzz around him, and the guy that probably won't be waiting too long on Thursday, is Marvin Harrison Jr. But Mel Kiper Jr., we all know him, one of the best NFL draft analysts in the game. He put out a piece this weekend and highlighted some of his favorite players at each position in the draft. And so when you roll through this article, you get to one specific unit, and there's a Buckeye that pops up for Mel Kiper Jr., and that is Cade Stover at the tight end position. We watched him last year really play at a high clip, had a great connection with Kyle McCord, and Mel Kiper says Stover is going under the radar a little bit, but he's a heck of a player. Stover understands how to get open against zone coverage, finding soft spots, and showing his hands to his quarterback. He's aggressive and tough. He is still inconsistent as a blocker, but he has the strength and movement skills to be really solid in the run game. He also didn't drop any of his 52 targets last season.
That's what stood out to me the most in that, and I would have never like realized that or guessed that. I think a lot of times, especially at the pro level, and we see it in the college level as well, but we get it so much into the measurables. Mm-hmm. A guy can lift this much. He's this fast. He can throw the ball this hard. All of that. What's the biggest thing for a receiver or a guy that's supposed to catch the ball? It's catching the daggone ball.
Secure the rock, baby.
That's one of the things we love about Marv. He doesn't drop the ball. Yeah. He catches everything. If it hits his hands, it is going to be a completion. Yeah. And for Cade Stover, especially the way the NFL has gone, where maybe a tight end doesn't have to block as much anymore, it's more about getting numbers, getting receptions downfield in the passing game. Yep. Catching the ball is key, and that was a huge stat that Mel Kiper brought out.
No question. And to your point about the tight end position, look at what we just saw this past postseason and how impactful tight ends were a part of a few of the last team standings. We know Kansas City Chiefs have Travis Kelce. We know the Baltimore Ravens had Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely step up. Kittle for San Francisco. So it's one of those positions right now that is a hot position. And if you can get a guy that can do both, right, that can help you out with the run game and be maybe an extra offensive lineman, but also do the things downfield that you were just talking about, it's a valuable weapon to have.
And you mentioned the teams that made it far in the NFL this year. Sam Laporta set a couple rookie records for tight ends this year. Now, I don't think Cade Stover is Sam Laporta, but he definitely is going to get onto a team and make an impact in his rookie season, I would think.
Completely agree with you on that. And when you slide down just a little bit more, when Mel starts to talk about a projection for Cade Stover, he says the 6'4", 247-pound Stover is my third-ranked tight end, and I see him going in round three and making an impact as a rookie. So I'm with you. I'm with Mel. He's going to go into the league and put a dent into some type of roster in a good way and find himself on the field. So now let's talk about some of the other Buckeyes that are going to be in the mix that may get drafted this weekend. Another name that has a decent amount of intrigue around him, Bake, is Mike Hall. And there's some believe that he could be the second Buckeye off the board. And so I've talked to some people. There's some Browns fans that I've talked to that like that as a potential landing spot for him. If the Brownies can get their hands on Mike Hall Jr., you could pair him with some of the defensive linemen that they already have. But more importantly, you get him in the mix in those passing down situations with his pass rush ability, with a guy like Myles Garrett, who you know is going to get double team, maybe triple team, depending on the structure of the opposing offense. I think that'd be a nice little landing spot for Mike Hall.
I think so. The thing now is he going to be there? Because he seems to be like a guy that's going up the draft charts. It was like he's going to be a second or a third rounder. Now everybody kind of thinks he's going to be a second rounder. I personally would love that for Cleveland, but the past couple years, they have seemed to go big at the defensive tackle spot. Dalvin Tomlinson, they drafted Siaki Ika, even though he didn't play much last year. Maurice Hurst, Shelby Harris, they've been getting bigger almost. You remember when the Patriots had their run? They always had a big 350, 360-pound run stuffer there.
Big Vince Wilfork.
Yeah, absolutely. Right in the middle of that defensive line. Yeah. So I'm not sure if Mike Hall fits what Jim Schwartz and the Browns want to do on defense, but I think he'd be a good player. He's a guy, and I'm not saying he's this guy, but I feel like he's very similar to an Aaron Donald in the fact that he's undersized, super strong, super quick. And one thing you noticed about Aaron Donald when you saw him, Aaron Donald had massive shoulders and a massive head right on top of those shoulders. Mike Hall is the same way.
And because of what's happening around the league at that position, the interior defensive line position, Mike Hall's stock may be a little bit higher than maybe it would have been a few years ago. Because you look around right now this offseason and some of the bags that some of these guys are getting, right? Just this past offseason, Christian Wilkins, Justin Madubuike, and Derek Brown got big deals, right? For at least $24 million a season. So you know how it is. It's a copycat league. Teams are going to follow that trend. And I think that can benefit Mike Hall and maybe get him some more money if he can go mid second round, maybe even high second round, depending on which team falls in love with him.
We heard Jim Knowles talk in the spring and right after the spring game about if you have defensive tackles that tackle and can stop the run, it makes your defense everywhere else that much easier. And we know as offenses spread the field more, you need more defensive backs on the field. You have less linebackers on the field. It is critical for your defensive tackles to really clog up the run game.
No question. Real quick, before we get to Brendan Deeg at the bottom of the NFL to talk, bottom of the hour, excuse me, to talk all things NFL, Marvin Harrison Jr., landing spot for him. What do you think? Because it seems like it's Arizona, maybe the Chargers, if they stay there at five. Where do you think he could hit the ground running?
Obviously, it's all going to depend on who gets desperate to jump up and get a quarterback and what team is going to oblige with that and take the picks. Yeah. I hate that I'm about to say this, but I think the Chargers are the perfect spot for him because I'm not the biggest Justin Herbert fan, but I like him more than I like Kyler Murray, and he will be the unquestioned, I think on either team, he's the unquestioned number one, but the Chargers really, really need a wide receiver.
They lost a lot. Keenan Allen gone to Chicago. Mike Williams is in New York, and even a pass catching back in Austin Eckler is now in Washington.
And Quentin Johnson has trouble hanging on to the football.
Yeah, that does not look great for them, because last year, speaking of the draft, they started the run of wide receivers, and they went with Quentin Johnson, and then after that went Zay Flowers, and then went Jordan Addison, and those two guys looked a lot better in year one than Quentin Johnson did out in L.A. When we come back, we'll talk all things NFL with our guy Brendan Deeg from The Score. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
perfect ratio of sports talk, dogs, pro wrestling, and gambling advice.
It's science.
You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
That you are. Welcome back in. Matty Ice got Ryan Baker filling in for our guy AR today. We're going to light up right now the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. And bring in one of our favorites, Brendan Deeg, NFL news editor over at The Score. Brendan, happy draft week, my man. How you feeling?
Doing well. How's my favorite radio station in the world doing?
We're doing well, man. Doing well. Excited to get to Thursday. Cannot wait to see how everything unfolds. Going to hit you with this one out of the gate. The team for Brendan Deeg that he's most intrigued to follow come Thursday is who?
The New England Patriots. I'm fascinated by what they're going to do if they trade out, if they pick the quarterback. So number one overall pick is going to be Caleb Williams. The number two overall pick is going to be a quarterback. We don't know exactly who that quarterback is going to be, but I am fascinated with the direction that New England Patriots go. It's a whole new regime. Elliot Wolf is now the quote-unquote general manager. You have the new coaching staff coming in. So there's a lot of questions to be answered about what direction this team wants to go in. I think they're going to take a quarterback. I think they'll take the third quarterback in this draft, but they could definitely trade out. Who that third quarterback is going to be as well is kind of fascinating to me. So I think that kind of the draft starts at number three, and I'm really looking forward to see what the New England Patriots do.
I'm glad you said the Patriots because I feel the same way, Brendan. You just mentioned there, it looks like three quarterbacks to start this draft off. How many quarterbacks go in the top five Thursday, and then how many total go Thursday?
I think four are going to get taken in the top five. I think J.J. McCarthy is going to be a top five pick. I'm expecting either New England, the Arizona Cardinals, or the Los Angeles Chargers, or multiple of those teams trade out, and then the fourth quarterback will be taken in the top five there. I think it's going to be the Los Angeles Chargers. I think the Los Angeles Chargers are going to move out of five. They need to fill a lot of holes on that roster, and I know the Los Angeles Chargers fan base is kind of hammering down. They want a wide receiver, and the wide receiver room is definitely kind of bleak at best in Los Angeles, but I think trading out, getting kind of a king's ransom for that fifth overall pick for that fourth quarterback is worth it. So my prediction is going to be Caleb, either Drake May or Jaden Daniels, number two. And then the other guy will go number three, and then McCarthy will go four. And then in the whole first round, it's tough to say. It's tough to gauge kind of how teams look at Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. Those are the two guys that could potentially go in the first round. I think Penix is going to go in the first round, maybe towards the end. Maybe the Raiders even take him at 13. There's some buzz there, but I think five quarterbacks are going to go. But it wouldn't be shocking if it's only the four in the top five. And usually kind of every single draft we get this where a bunch of quarterbacks go early and then everyone's expecting a team to select another quarterback later in the first round. The Ravens did it with Lamar Jackson. That's kind of the famous one. But a lot of the times, like if you don't like your quarterback enough to go get him in the top 12, you're not going to take him at 22 or 26. It's kind of, you're either rarely high on him or you're not high enough to take him at the end of the first round. So my guess is going to be five, but it wouldn't shock if it was only four.
Brendan Deeg from The Score joining us here on The Fan, talking all things NFL and NFL draft. Brendan, I want to go to Caleb in Chicago with you. We saw last year the impact that C.J. Stroud made on that Houston Texans franchise and got that team into the postseason. When you look at Caleb Williams as a player and the guy he was in college and combine that with what the Bears have done this offseason, are you a believer that he can mess around and get them in the postseason in year number one?
Oh, yeah. I think the playoffs are not like a crazy expectation for the Chicago Bears. I think this is the best situation a number one overall pick can be dropped in, maybe ever, that we'll see a number one overall pick dropped into. Put an example on this, like it should have been the Carolina Panthers, right? And like that's where the situation that usually number one all picks go is a team like the Carolina Panthers where you have Adam Thielen in a bad offensive line and a team that's not doing well. The Chicago Bears won four of their last seven games down the stretch. They had a really good defense, and a lot of those defensive players are returning and kind of getting older as they were younger. Like they're going into their prime, like Jalen Johnson, the Montez Sweat trade was a home run. Matt Eberflus, in my opinion, did a very good job with that defense. That's one part of it. And on the offensive side of the ball, like Keenan Allen and DJ Moore is as good as a 1-2 punch you'll ever get from a rookie quarterback. And then they have the number 9th overall pick that they can drop another talented player in as well. So I think Caleb's got to be fired up. There are a lot of rumors, like, And a lot of, I just smoked that, turned out to not be true that Caleb didn't want to go to Chicago. I don't see why you wouldn't want to go there right now. This is as good as a situation that any top pick can be dropped into.
Brendan, obviously here in Columbus, Browns fans, Bengals fans, there are a lot of Steelers fans as well. What would be a successful draft for each of those teams, you think?
So the Pittsburgh Steelers, in my opinion, are going to go offensive line. I think they're going to take the pick of 20. I'm kind of eyeing Graham Barton to them at number 20. The Cincinnati Bengals, I think they're at 18, right? They can go a bunch of different directions. The way the kind of board's falling is cornerback and offensive line is kind of that sweet spot from 15 to the end of the draft. You're going to see a ton of corners and a ton of offensive tackles and offensive guards selected there. So kind of the pick of the litter for whatever the Bengals want to do at the top selection there. I think they're in a really good spot. T. Higgins is coming back. It doesn't look like he's going to get traded. You still have Jamar Chase, who's going to get a nice contract extension either this offseason or next offseason. Joe Burrow's coming back healthy. He's saying all the right things this offseason. I know they did lose Brian Callahan, but I think it's kind of just like a nice, sweet transition with Zach Taylor running the offense. I don't think they're going to lose too much from the loss of Callahan. So I think the Bengals can just infusing this team with more young talent and top-end talent is the way to go. What was that third team you said?
The Browns.
The Browns, yeah. So the Cleveland Browns, they have to kind of nail – I don't know if there's like a ton of pressure on this team, but if you were to like rank like the top 10 teams that kind of need to nail this, in my opinion, it is the Cleveland Browns. Like the Deshaun Watson contract is going to cripple this franchise, but as the next couple of years go, they need to kind of add and fuse the team with young talent to kind of counteract if the quarterback is making so much money. So I do think the Browns need to kind of nail this draft out the park. They don't have a first-round pick, I believe, right, due to the Deshaun Watson trade. I think the Minnesota Vikings own the number 23 pick that Houston ended up sending them. So they have some picks later on the draft. They have the 54th, 85th pick. So there's some kind of maybe another wide receiver they could drop in there. If they're not comfortable kind of with the Judy, Elijah Moore, Amari Cooper land, they want to kind of maybe upgrade this offensive line. They've dealt with some injuries there. So the Browns have a lot of later round draft capital to work with, but they're going to have to kind of just sit and be patient and kind of wait for the board to come to them.
All right, Brendan, let's go down to Dallas, because it's been just weird vibes for me around the Dallas Cowboys and their all season, but specifically Dak Prescott. And when you look at this weekend ahead, do you believe that Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones need to bring in maybe a Dak Prescott replacement?
So, yeah, I've been kind of flirting with this take on my podcast over the last month. Like, there is not a team that has worse vibes surrounding their team right now than the Dallas Cowboys. They barely spent any money in free agency. I think they're up to like $16 million. In free agency and extension spent. To put that in perspective, the Philadelphia Eagles have spent $409 million on extensions and free agents. So they're not even the same stratosphere. And that's a team you're competing with for the NFC East. So I think they're kind of behind the eight ball here. They've lost a ton of draft capital. There's obviously off-field stuff going on with Dak Prescott. A lot of talk. A lot of fans are starting to get mad at Jerry Jones. If you take a look at just the cash spending. Like, so there's salary cap spending and then cash spending. So cash spending kind of helps your team pay guys early with big signing bonuses so you can move money to future years. The Dallas Cowboys are dead last in cash spending right now, and they have one of the richest owners in football. So I don't really know exactly kind of what their plan is. To answer your question about the quarterback, I think Dak Prescott is a great quarterback. I think he's a top seven, top 10 at minimum quarterback in the NFL. I know the playoff game didn't go very well, but he was second in MVP voting this year. He had a tremendous season. He's only 30 years old. I think he's still got a ton of good football ahead of him. Like, if I'm Dallas, I'm extending him. I know you have to kind of pay the price and pay him top quarterback money, but I think it's worth it with Dak Prescott. So I wouldn't waste a top pick. They only have three picks in the top 80. I think it's like 88. So there's not a ton of draft capital to work with. So I would re-sign Dak. I think it's crazy that they're going to go into the season with Dak on a one-year deal, basically.
Brendan, one more here in the last minute with you. We know the Eagles and Falcons are being looked at for tampering with Saquon Barkley and Kirk Cousins, respectively. The Dolphins a couple years ago lost a first-round pick and I believe a third-round pick for tampering with Tom Brady and Sean Payton. Do you think we will get any resolution to those issues before Thursday night?
Yeah, we should get some sort of resolution, at least I think by this week, or early this week, sorry, like in the next two or three days. Last year, the Arizona Cardinals got hit with a tampering punishment from the NFL. I think it was on draft day. Like, I think it was on Thursday night where they tampered to get Jonathan Gannon away from the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles ended up moving up in the draft due to that. So I think you will see a resolution soon. What that resolution is tough to say. I don't have any kind of inside information there. The Philadelphia Eagles one was kind of based off of James Franklin from Penn State, the head coach, saying that Howie Roseman and Saquon Barkley talked person to person during the tampering period. That ended up being retracted, and James Franklin said he misspoke. So I don't know if there's much there, but the Atlanta Falcons one is interesting because we all know, like, it was basically a done deal before free agency started that Kirk Cousins was going to be Atlanta Falcon. Everyone knew. So my spidey senses tell me that they're going to get into some trouble. I don't think the Eagles will. And like you said, the Miami Dolphins got a first-round pick taken away from them. So maybe that's a punishment for Atlanta, and that would not be kind of a good start to the Kirk Cousins era in Atlanta.
Not at all. Going to be an interesting week. There's no doubt about it. He's Brendan Deeg, the NFL news editor over at The Score, covers it with the best of them. Brendan, you know we love you, man. Have a great rest of the day. Enjoy draft week.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. Enjoy the rest of your week.
There he goes, Brendan Deeg on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. When we come back, it's Monday, so you know we have to party like a rock star. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
We are your radio home for the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. We may have a bit of a football problem.
Oh, yeah.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's all gather into the Kiki. It's time to party like a Roth star.
Welcome back in. Babe, this is my favorite segment of the week. And since you are the guest in the house today, you are batting leadoff. Who you got on your party like a Roth star roster?
All right, my first one is a name that a lot of people may not know, but Cam Collier. He is the third baseman for the Dayton Dragons. That is the High A affiliate of our Cincinnati Reds,
yes,
Maddie.
Talk about it.
This kid was selected number 18 overall by the Reds in the 2022 draft when he was just a 17-year-old playing at Chipola Junior College after graduating high school early. On Saturday in the Dragons' 7-5 loss to Fort Wayne, Collier hit his fifth home run in his past seven games. He has six home runs over 54 at-bats in 13 games this season. He had six home runs last year in 390 at-bats in his first professional season. Collier entered Sunday batting .333 with six home runs, a 1.061 OPS, and 18 RBIs for the Dayton Dragons so far in the regular season. Yesterday, he went 1-for-4 with a walk. My guy can't even get into a bar and party like a Roth star, but he's partying like a Roth star.
I love it. I love it. Can't wait to see him in the big leagues. First guy for me, I'm starting in the National Basketball Association. One of my favorite things in sports is watching guys arrive and meet the moment and become stars. And to me, that is exactly what happened in game number one of the Minnesota Timberwolves Phoenix Suns series. Because Anthony Edwards, some may call him Ant-Man, this guy is the absolute truth, Bake. He's 22 years old, and you can see it all coming together right before your eyes. In the third quarter against KD and the Suns, he dropped 18 points, finished the game with 33 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, and 2 steals, 4 of 8 from the 3-point line. And after one of those buckets that I just mentioned in the third quarter, it was a 3 in the eye of Kevin Durant, and he was chirping all the way down the floor, and KD loved it. There was nothing KD could do but smile. I'm telling you, if you have not caught this guy yet, he can do it all. He even said, in the next 2 to 3 years, I'm going to be the best player in the league. So over in the Western Conference side of things, you got Luka Doncic, you've got Victor Wembanyama, you got Anthony Edwards. The league is in great hands, but this guy, Ant-Man, is an absolute problem. Anthony Edwards partying like a rock star.
Now, I don't know because that's a playoff game, but does that count towards the consecutive home game, 30 points, 5-5? Because I believe he was one game behind Michael Jordan, tying that record of 5 games in a row.
I think you're onto something there. And also, with that 30-point game he just had, he ranks second in Timberwolves history in 30-point games in the playoffs, with 6 behind Kevin Garnett with 7. So he may go down and probably will go down as the best Timberwolf of all time. The dude's only 22 years old.
Having a heck of a year. Maddie, another year. No big deal. Another regular season conference championship for the Ohio State men's tennis team. The Buckeyes swept Wisconsin in Madison yesterday to lock up an 18th straight Big Ten title. Ohio State has won every Big Ten men's regular season title since 2006, the second longest streak of any Big Ten team in any sport, behind just the Iowa wrestling team, which won 25 consecutive titles from 74 to 98. The Buckeyes are 188-2 in Big Ten play and 584-62 since the beginning of the streak. And how about this? Robert Cash earns his 140th career doubles win, a program record that likely is going to last forever, as he has played 5 seasons with the Buckeyes due to COVID-19. The Buckeyes now await the beginning of the Big Ten tournament next Friday before they start NCAA regionals the following weekend. The Buckeyes currently sit atop the Division I men's tennis rankings with a 27-1 record this season.
Incredible.
Woo!
Incredible. Second guy for me, I'm going up to the land. I'm going up to the land. And I'm going to talk about what is my favorite Cleveland Guardian. You know I'm a Reds fan through and through, but this guy I can't help but root for. And I'm talking about Josh Naylor. Josh Naylor is an absolute force in this Guardians lineup. He came up big yesterday with that 3-run double in the 7th. He hit a dinger on Saturday, and now here we are with Josh Naylor, 3rd in the American League in home runs, and he's 4th in the AL in RBIs. This guy right now is showing everybody why a couple years ago people were saying, is he really worth it? Is he really? Yes, he's worth it. He's figured it all out. You got him in the middle of that lineup with Jose Ramirez. And pitchers got an issue dealing with Josh Naylor. He's partying like a rock star.
Who would have thought the Guardians would be where they are right now because of their hitting?
Right.
Their hitting has been unbelievable. Maddie, if you win the Masters, I feel like you should be partying like a Roth star all year, whether or not you do anything else. But Scottie Scheffler picked himself up another win this morning as he wins the RBC Heritage. It was delayed because of weather, so he had to play another day, win that thing this morning. He has won for the 4th time in his past 5 starts. The only one he didn't win, the Houston Open, he was the runner-up. He becomes the first player since Bernard Langer in 1985 to win the week after capturing the green jacket. He made himself another $3.6 million by winning the RBC. That brings his season total, and remember, we're not even to May yet. His season total, $18.7 million. Scottie Scheffler has won in his career. He has won $86.2 million. And oh, yeah, by the way, he's going to be a dad for the first time next week.
Scotty, it's the beard, man. I'm telling you. The beard got him right. Scotty's different. He is just absolutely built different. Last guys, for me, we're going to Milwaukee because Dame Lillard had to ask a question. Remember me? Because in the first half of the game against the Indiana Pacers, Dame Dalla dropped 35 points in a half. He's absolutely electric. The other guy is Chris Middleton. Chris Middleton, we know, can be an absolutely rock solid number two when he is right. He's been injured all year long, but he comes away out of this game with a double double, 23 points, 10 rebounds, and 4 assists for Chris Middleton. Giannis is down. Who knows when he's coming back? If Milwaukee's going to make noise in the postseason, it's going to have to be large in part because of Damian Lillard and Chris Middleton. They did it in game one. Those guys were partying like a rock star. There's Party Like a Rock Star for this week. Coming up, one of the best players in the 2024 draft is reportedly a little upset with a certain team. We'll tell you who and why next. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
Head to 971thefan.com to listen on demand and subscribe to all our podcasts.
Wasting time has never been easier.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Always as tender as a well-done steak. This is Rothman and Ice.
I'm team medium now. I am team medium now. Make it official. I'm on the record. No more well-done steak.
I don't understand what took you so long.
I'm out the game. I don't know either. I don't know either. Childish palate of mine did not want to move on. And then you say, you know what? Let me experiment just a little bit. And now I see the vision. I see the vision, and I've been asleep for way too long.
You didn't do the ketchup, too,
no,
did you?
I do not. I do not do
just
that.
Just making sure.
I'll hit like a couple little drips of A1 every now and then, but even when you get the medium steak, you don't even need it. You a steak sauce guy? You're just like, nah, no.
Nah, good steaks don't need sauce.
I hear you, man.
Salt, some pepper, and maybe a little garlic. That's it.
But see, I'm a sauce guy, though, like with anything and everything that I do, so I just love dipping everything.
I thought it was sauce.
Sauce. Get you some of that sauce. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's onion rings, fries, you name it, chicken sandwiches. I like dipping stuff in sauces for sure. Bottom of the hour, we'll go out to Washington and talk to John Kine, the former Buckeye who now covers the Washington Commanders for ESPN, pick his brain on the number two overall pick and all everything they have going on. If you missed Brendan Deeg earlier in the program, wherever you get your podcast, type in Rothman and Ice. That interview and a lot more will be waiting for you. Don't forget, subscribe to the old Rothman and Ice podcast as well. Before we get to an interesting draft story that came out of the weekend, did you see the news that came out this morning that involved Tom Brady and a Netflix special that's about to drop?
Yeah, I did see a little something about that.
So coming out, I believe, next Sunday, May 5th at 8 p.m. on Netflix, they're going to air, quote, the roast of Tom Brady. And this thing's going to be hosted by Kevin Hart, and it says the event will feature an all-star lineup of surprise roasters and will be the first ever live roast to an air unedited and uncensored on television or streaming. So I know exactly what I will be doing next Sunday night. I think this is going to be amazing. I love Kevin Hart. Everybody knows I'm a Tom Brady guy on this show. And then who knows who we're getting? Gronk, Bill Belichick. It could be anybody that's going to come in here and cook Tom Brady. Sign me up for this. I'm here for it.
Yeah, I mean, I would guess that this is going to be entertaining. Now, I don't know if it's something that I'm going to watch live because I don't know what's going on. You know, I'm not going to set out a block of time for this probably. Yeah. But there is probably at some point I would want to go back and watch it.
Yeah,
at
depending
least
on what's going on next Sunday, I don't think there's really no shows that I'm being challenged by that's going to challenge that for me. Like, we're not really cooking with HBO Sundays much anymore. Maybe I'm missing something, but that was, you know, that was the deal for a while.
I mean, Reds will probably play in the afternoon,
yeah,
and
man,
probably have some hockey playoffs on, maybe some NBA,
yeah,
if
right
that's what you
that
want to watch. But yeah, I mean,
no,
this is something I'll definitely want to check out. How can you not? Like,
of course,
Kevin Hart and Tom Brady.
That's what I'm saying. Tom Brady just sitting on the throne getting cooked by everybody and he can't do anything about it. That's going to be awesome to see for me. So an interesting draft nugget that came out this past weekend, or before I get to that, let's go back to last week, because there is a story that came out that the Washington Commanders, who I think we're all safely assuming at this point, are going to draft a quarterback at number two. But last week, news came out of their building that they hosted a bunch of quarterbacks at the same time. And I thought that was odd. That was something I have never really remember hearing. Obviously, these franchises are going to roll through these guys throughout the days and weeks leading up to the draft. But doing everybody at the same time, it was odd to me. Was that odd for you, or do you think that's just business at this point of the calendar?
And I guess I'd have to look into this more. Did they have separate meetings with each of these guys? I'm sure they have at some point, having them all together. You know, I don't know if it's odd. Maybe it's them. You know, these NFL teams do weird things sometimes, yeah, to try to get every angle of these guys' personalities. And maybe they did this on purpose to see who was going to react a certain way and how they would do with it. I don't know. It doesn't seem super odd to me. But because I'm guessing they already had individual meetings with all of them.
Well, there was a guy that reacted. And we found out this weekend, just a couple days ago, our guy Adam Schefter, who we'll have on the program on Wednesday, and we do every Wednesday at 12:33, he dropped this quote. Jane Daniels was not particularly enthralled to be included in a speed dating group of quarterbacks, which I think is a right way to label it, because that's kind of what they were doing. I heard they did Top Golf, and they did a whole bunch of weird things with those guys. But now that that's out there, that obviously, to me, is coming from the agency of who's repping Jane Daniels and getting that to Adam Schefter. And maybe they're trying to get him to go elsewhere. Am I reading too much into that? Because let me ask you this off the top. Do you like this reaction from Jane Daniels?
First things first, now I'm just picturing the 40-year-old virgin, and maybe I can't see this being weird a little bit.
Interesting scene there, it's speed to say dating, the least.
But,
very interesting scene there.
I mean, I don't think it bothers me either or. You know, I think you want your quarterback to have some fire in them. You know, you don't want them just being a robot, but they also need to be cool and calm in the pressure-packed situations. But, yeah, I don't know if I have a feeling either way on this. Did they have an individual meeting with you, which I'm sure they had. So, you know, who cares kind of thing to me. But, yeah, this could be, though. Listen, we know this is silly season, and there's all kinds of smoke screens out there. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of people trying to take narratives the way they want, so the thing that they want to happen will happen. So this could be, maybe, there is a little, we don't really want to do this. You're hearing a lot that Jaden Daniels and his group kind of maybe wants to play for the Raiders.
Well,
so, I mean, that's, I don't think he's going to fall that far, obviously. But
you bring up the Raiders, and they're one of those teams in that 11, 12, 13 window, right? Broncos, Vikings, Raiders, all three that could potentially draft a quarterback or maybe move up fairly high to get a quarterback. So it would not surprise me if what you mentioned is true because of Jane Daniels' history, specifically with Antonio Pierce, because Antonio Pierce used to be one of the top recruiters and assistant coaches at Arizona State and recruited Jane Daniels out of high school to come to Arizona State before he did transfer, obviously, to LSU. So that would make a lot of sense if he would want to get there, pair yourself, obviously, with Devontae Adams, one of the best in the sport, and see where you could go. My gut is telling me that Washington is picking between the two of May and Daniels at this point. We talked last week, Beck, just about the odds that certain sportsbooks have shifted for the second overall pick to where they're fairly close, if not even, between the two to go second overall. And so just a lot has changed for Washington this offseason, right? New head coach. You bring in Cliff Kingsbury, new ownership group as well. Cliff Kingsbury, coach Kyler Murray, his rookie year when he won Offensive Rookie of the Year as well. So I feel like Washington wants Daniels, but now with this story out there and with Schefter pushing this out there and letting everyone know that his camp wasn't happy about it, does your mind change if you're Washington, or are you just like, hey, we love the player, we'll deal with a little bit of static on the other side if we have to?
If you're Washington and you've got these guys ranked pretty similar, or maybe you have J.J. McCarthy similar, or maybe you have Michael Penix or Bo Nix similar, if you're Washington, are you a team that flips back so another team could come up? You know, they have other holes in their roster as well, too. There's a reason these teams are picking at the top of the draft. It's usually because they have a lot of areas of need. So it just adds another wrinkle and intrigue to what we're going to see Thursday night.
You mentioned areas of need. That's why I'm fascinated by what Caleb Williams is going to do in year one, because they don't look on paper right now like a team that should be picking number one overall, right? Obviously, they made the trade with Carolina and, you know, got a lot of these picks to get them in this position, play some bad football as well to get them in this position. But if he's as special as what some think he is, Bake, like, they could be an issue this year. And that NFC North could get fun real quick with the Lions being in that, an established unit right now with what they've done over the last year or two, what the Packers did to end their season going into the postseason. And we saw it last year. When you hit and find the guy with right now talent around him, it doesn't take long. It does not take long.
That's why I was a guy that, whether you believed in Fields or not, and I understand the quarterback certainty of the contract with taking a guy at number one. You reset that mm-hmm. with your quarterback position. But that's why I was a guy that thought the Bears, whether I think Fields is the guy or not, should have traded back. They should have traded this number one pick, accrued more picks, you know, maybe trade back to three. Could you get New England? Do they want Caleb Williams? Could you get New England? Then you could still get Marv. You could get somebody with that number nine pick. You could have added a lot to your team and made a team that chances are with Justin Fields, you could have pushed for maybe a playoff spot if you added the right pieces like we saw Houston do last year.
Yeah, no question. I think it's an interesting deal. And I think even at nine this year, when they get done taking Caleb number one overall, I'd probably draft another weapon if I were them.
Adunze.
Yeah.
Is a guy you've seen a lot.
For sure. Just because Keenan Allen, he's on this 1 year deal. So who knows? They may get a deal done with him the way they did Montez Sweat. But I think if you do lose him, let's say next offseason, you'll have DJ Moore or Adunze, whoever they may like there. So I'd probably pick a playmaker at nine too if I was Chicago.
You'd have to think it's a wide receiver, the best offensive tackle available.
Yeah, because you can never go wrong protecting your guy. Real quick, team for you that has a bunch of intrigue around it when we get to Thursday in that first round.
Well, and I agreed with Brendan Deeg when we talked to him. I think the Patriots are fascinating right there. Then the Chargers are another team that's in like a catbird seat. They could have a really good player, maybe the best player in the draft to some, and Marvin Harrison fall in their lap, or they could make a trade with the Minnesota Vikings, possibly. If the Vikings want to come up, you could get those two first-round picks. I think those are two teams right there in the top five that are a lot of action could happen around them.
Minnesota's the squad for me, babe. They are the squad for me because you have out there this Josh McCown, Drake May connection where he coached him in high school. He's now up in Minnesota as the quarterback coach. Part of me would be okay with them sitting back and maybe allowing Penix to fall to them at 11 or 23 and allowing him to cook with those playmakers because of, you mentioned Adunze, the weaponry that was around him at Washington and watching him support guys like that. I think in that dome, he could really get the ball up in the air. They could be doing some high flying things. My guess is that they're going to move up. That's why they acquired that extra first round pick. I just don't know for whom because of the team that you mentioned. If New England stays put and they do want Drake May or McCarthy, what type of intel do they have right now at this point? I would love to be a fly on their wall right now over the next couple of days in the conversation that the Vikings front office is having about what they want to do at quarterback.
And it's interesting. Most you've heard is they're going to go up to get McCarthy. But that Josh McCown, Drake May connection is very interesting.
Very real. Very real. Thursday, the first hour of the draft on Thursday, it's going to be a wild ride. It has the potential to be a wild ride. Coming up, did the Cavs with their game one performance versus the Orlando Magic change how we feel about how deep this team could go in the postseason? We'll tell you next. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
Here's a listener tweet. Are men and bones stupid in real life? Yes. Yes, they are. Common Man and T-Bone.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Listening to Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus. Windows and doors that go beyond.
Welcome back in. Matty Ice, Ryan Baker, hanging out with you on a Monday. Hope you guys had a great weekend. Always appreciate your time. Bottom of the hour, John Keim covers the Washington Commanders for ESPN. We will talk to him about their draft plans at two, their current roster, and a lot more. Game number one of the Cavs Magic series is in the books. Cavs bring it home by a final score of 97-83. Let's hear from Donovan Mitchell on the tone that this team set in game one.
Started with Evan, you know what I mean, to start the game, you know, but I think for us, that third quarter really could have went one or two ways, you know. And I felt like for the guys that were here last year, just kind of being a part of that and flipping the script around the 5 minute mark or whatever, like it was going to get ugly. It's going to get fizzed. That's how the series is going to be. But how do you respond? That's been my message all year. We're going to get beat up. You know, we're going to turn the ball over. We're going to have bad possessions. We're not going to make shots. We're going to get out rebounded in situations. We didn't get out rebounded tonight, but stuff like that's going to happen. But how do you respond? You know what I mean? And that was a great response how we did it tonight. But at the end of the day, you learn from it. You enjoy it, but it's one game.
You know, he mentioned in there ugly and getting beat up. That first word, ugly, could describe the shooting performances for these two teams in the game. And, Bake, it was a narrative coming into the game that had followed Orlando all year. They're a very good young team that is very inexperienced, but their kryptonite for themselves is their offensive prowess and their consistent shooting. And Orlando just cannot hit anything. They couldn't hit water if they fell out the boat, man. It was that bad for the Magic. So it feels like out of the gate that this Cavs team should handle business, but you cannot underestimate a young and hungry team in any sport.
No, and I did not realize how talented this Magic team was. Yeah. Paolo Banchero, Jalen Suggs, mm-hmm. Wagner is playing really good for them. Yeah. Isaac is a long player on the wing. They got Fultz, who was a former number one pick. We know his struggles, but he's kind of rebounded his game a little bit. Yeah. And then Inglis, who we saw so good for the Utah Jazz hitting those threes. This Cavs team, though, they're a good defensive team. What I like, though, from that game one is you brought in Donovan Mitchell for these moments. And for him to do what he did, score the 30 points, lead the team in that game one, I think that's encouraging, and that's what you need here the rest of this series.
100%. And that's why I was always on board last year, the year before, when they made the trade, because you could see you had the young guys and Evan Mobley and Darius Garland, Jared Allen, and the Okoros of the world. They needed somebody that could potentially put them over the top. Now, we know what happened last year. And that was an ugly series against the Knicks. They got beat up physically on the glass, and the Knicks have flipped the page, and they're still that same type of team. But you're so right, right? With Donovan Mitchell, who, for the most part, when he's been out there, has been good. But he's been banged up all year, and that's held him back. And speaking of his health, here is Donovan Mitchell talking about how he's feeling right now physically.
1% better every day, just continuing to get back to where I feel like I'm comfortable and I feel like I can be even better. I think there were spots where, you know, I turned the ball over in situations or doing different things, you know, just continuing to play my game and just continuing to put the treatment in and put the work in.
It's unfortunate that a lot of the conversation when it comes to Donovan Mitchell and his time in Cleveland has been what's next. Part of that is his own doing, right, with his interest in New York and the family ties there to New York and all those things. So I understand that. But at least where we are right now, it was paramount this season for this Cavs team to go on and win a playoff round. And I know that's a very low bar, but coming out of what we saw last year, they have to get this thing done. So you got another game tonight, tips at 7. This game will be on NBA TV. But I think last year's experience, because you know, Bake, when you're a team, whether it's baseball, football, basketball, soccer, whatever, where you kind of get your teeth kicked in and embarrassed the year before, and you can run it back with those same core of guys that are not only talented but had to feel that pain and that experience, I think that can go a long way. And honestly, bringing it back home to us here in Columbus may be something that we see from the Buckeye football team this year, right? With what they've been going through the last 3 years at the end of the season, and now a lot of those guys are back. I think that's going to show itself throughout, hopefully, a decent playoff run for the Cavs. There's those guys learning from what went wrong a season ago.
There's progressions in sports and with teams, and sometimes, unfortunately, you have to get kicked in the teeth to come back stronger and get to where you want to go. At least in game one here, this Cavs team has responded. And I love, we were talking about this in the break, I love Jared Allen. The dude's just a double-double machine, and he's been like that even before. If you followed his career with the Nets before, he is a guy that's 18 points, 12 rebounds, 20 points, 14 rebounds. The other night was 16 and 18 for him. I mean, and that kind of stuff is big in the playoffs.
No
a
question.
Guy that's going to go get those rebounds.
And more importantly, too, to add to your point, because you're absolutely right about that, is you talk about the few offensive rebounds that you get too, right? And that's what they had to fight last year in the postseason. And Jared Allen admitted, this guy admitted, hey, the moment was a little too big. The lights were a little too bright. I like to call him the undercover brother because I love the afro. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie, but that's what he is for sure. So a very good outing in game number one for Cleveland, at least on the defensive end. Offensively, they didn't really shoot it well either. I mean, just listen to this. You talk about the Cavs, 26% from the three-point line. Orlando, 21%. Old school basketball is back. And honestly, you watch some of the postseason games right now, Bake, they're letting them play. I don't know how you feel about that in basketball, more physicality or not, but that's been a good thing. I know for a lot of people, you know, the up and down, the high scoring games sometimes can get tiresome, but now you look around over the last, actually the second half of the year, got a little bit of that old school 90s vibe now back to the sport where they're allowing these guys to get after each other a little bit.
And if you're the Cavs, that may be a really good thing because in game one, you're talking about shooting numbers. The Magic not good from the free throw line. 63.3%, 19-30. So maybe you want to ramp that physicality up a little
bit. Please, absolutely. Their defense is great, but their offense, man, is just, I think we could help them out on the offensive end right now. So it'll be interesting to see what moves they make. Didn't see a whole bunch of Jalen Suggs on Donovan Mitchell. Was surprising to some, including me. But one more here. Before we go to break, let's hear from JB Bickerstaff, because you brought up Donovan Mitchell and how important he is for this Cavs team to reach their peak. In my opinion, you got to have Darius Garland feeling good about himself. And here's JB Bickerstaff talking about DG.
I mean, it's huge for him and it's huge for us. And it's one of those things, and we've talked about it, you know, a million times throughout the season. And like his teammates want him to go and get it, right? His teammates are always lifting him up, supporting him, pushing him, wanting him to do more because we all know what he's capable of. And when he's firing, it makes us so much more dangerous. And again, we talked about it pregame where his head was at. He's in a great space. He wants to go out and compete at a high level and help us win. But, you know what I mean? It just forces defenses to have to make really difficult decisions in the moment and at speed, because now, you know, all three of those guys on the perimeter, you know, are firing and our big guys are doing their thing in the interior, leaves you with some difficult decisions to make.
14 points, 8 assists, 3 rebounds for Darius Garland. Nice win for the Cavs again. Game 2 tonight at 7 o'clock. Coming up next, we're going to go out to Washington, go back to the NFL draft, specifically the Washington Commanders. John Keim covers that squad for ESPN. He'll join the program next. It's Rothman and Ice right here on the Fan.
All the 10 TV people come over to our side of the building to take a deuce. That should tell you something about how we operate. The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
True to his name, Matty Ice wears a winter coat in the middle of summer. He lives the gimmick, man. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
That you are. Welcome back in. Matty Ice got Ryan Baker filling in for AR today. Gonna use the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline right now and bring on a Buckeye, John Keim, ESPN Commanders reporter. John, happy draft week. Welcome home. How are you?
I'm doing all right, and I can't wait for it to be over.
Fair enough, because I'm sure you had a lot on your plate with the Commanders picking second overall. John, talk to us about your understanding of this visit that went down not too long ago with the Commanders bringing in multiple quarterbacks at the same time, and now it looks like there's been a little reaction to that, maybe from the Jaden Daniels camp and those guys over there not liking it too much. Just your thoughts on all of that.
So there's a couple of things. One, the idea that he doesn't want to play here has been told to me by a few people that it's just not true. So, you know, I do know that he is tight with Antonio Pierce, who coaches the Raiders. And if he had his druthers, he'd play there. The Raiders have no shot at getting to number two. So it's kind of irrelevant. So we'll start there. And with the visit, what happened, first of all, well, I'm going to explain it first. So the agent, after the visit, tweets out an emoji, like one of those emojis or a confused, whatever that hand on the chin thing, whatever it is. And it was in response to something that Pro Football Talk had about all these guys coming in at one time. And I don't think there was, my understanding in talking to people involved in the situation is that it wasn't so much upset as confusion. I think they just, I don't think they were told, well, what I was told is that they weren't told that they were going to have all four guys in there. Daniels, I don't think, had a big problem with it. I think there was confusion on his end. I think it probably came up, but I don't think it was a, I'm not playing here kind of thing at all. And, you know, I had talked to some people who know him pretty well, who felt like all along that Washington would be one of a couple places that would be good for him to go. So, you know, I think a lot was made and extrapolated over it. I can tell you that the front office here didn't pay a lot of attention to it because, you know, I know that they weren't going to wig out over an agent's emoji. And I know people think like, well, if the agent said this, then it must mean the player's upset. The kid's 24. I don't know if a lot of these players, when they first come out, realize that, yes, the agent actually works for you. And if you don't, you know, I think when you get up there in a few years and you play a few years, you can tell the guy, don't do that. I think when you're 24, it's your first experience with it. I don't know that you realize you can do that, right? I don't know. I don't know what he truly thought. But I think too much was made of it. It has no bearing on what they will do with the second pick. None at all.
So with that, then, what do they do with the second pick Thursday night?
They take Jaden Daniels.
That's
what they do, yes.
Yes. I just, real quick, John, sorry to cut you off, because there were some people were paying attention to some of the odds, you know, in the Vegas world. You know how that works, to where maybe Drake May could be in the mix. What's your understanding of their interest in maybe even Drake May?
They will take Jaden Daniels. Okay. That's my understanding. So the odds of it, like I saw that, and Vegas is not, I'm not buying the odds movement. So, I honestly, I'm not even sure it's between Jaden and Drake May. So, and in fact, I tend to think it's between Jaden or JJ McCarthy, believe it or not. So I don't think that it's, so I think if, you know, the Drake May movement, I think it's based on perception. And the one thing I will say, like Adam Peters, who is the GM here, has been very, very quiet about what he's going to do. I do think a lot of things point to Jaden Daniels, and I would, do I know 100% for sure? No, nobody does, but that's certainly what I would expect at this point.
So Jaden Daniels is their guy. They get him at number two. After that, what is a perfect draft for this Redskins team?
Left tackle. They have to find a left tackle in there. They have two picks in the second round, 36 and 40, and they have six in the top 100. In those picks, I think their ideal draft would be get a starting left tackle. Whether you trade back into the first round or sit at it's 36 and take a guy there, you get another tight end, maybe Kate Stover, who, you know, one of the better tight ends in this draft. You get a tight end because they want to pair him with Zach Ertz, and Kingsbury likes to use a lot of two tight ends in the passing game. Then you get an edge rusher to develop, maybe a Chop Robinson from Penn State. They had him in on a visit. Get a guy, because they've signed a few guys in the offseason at that position, but you want a young guy there. Quinn likes to have those kind of guys. You know, versatility can, and, you know, I think there's some untapped potential with Robinson, especially if you watch the Ohio State game. He didn't do a whole lot. But, like, I think that's another guy. And I think, like, cornerback would be another spot to address early on. Those, if you can get guys that can come in and help at those spots, I think they'd be very, very happy.
John Keim, ESPN Commanders reporter, joining us via the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. John, there's some interesting movement around the NFL this offseason, specifically at the running back position. And Washington was a part of that, bringing in Austin Eckler. Talk about that move and the fit for Washington and what you think he can do inside this Cliff Kingsbury offense.
Sure. And he's coming here primarily as a third down back. You know, and they have Brian Robinson, who's going to his third year, to be the primary between the tackles runner. but they wanted an experienced third down back and a guy who provides good insurance for a rookie quarterback. It's why they also have Zach Ertz at tight end, you know, established veterans. So Eckler's here for a couple of reasons. First of all, when you watched him last year, there was certainly, you didn't see the same level of explosiveness. Now, he also had a high ankle sprain early in the year. How much that affected him, we'll see, but that certainly has an impact. So is he the same explosive guy? Maybe not, but I think the experience in that role is what they were looking for. So, and I think the other part is they wanted to bring in veteran types who work a certain way and kind of help establish the foundation of what this organization wants to be about moving forward. And as everybody knows, as a lot of people know, like, it's been a long drought here. And I think they want to, it's the first year of this program, they want to establish a baseline of expectations for how you work, et cetera. And so that's partly also the reason why Eckler and a few other veterans were brought in as well. But third down back experience, that's the reason.
Commanders, you mentioned a long drought. Last year, 4-13, last in the NFC East. Obviously, they're picking second in this draft. But we know every year, there's quite a few teams that missed the playoffs last year that end up in the playoffs the next year. How can this Commanders team be one of those teams that jumps from worst in their division to a playoff team?
Well, the quarterback has to hit. So if you, again, you, let's say it, again, it is Jaden Daniels, and he comes in and he doesn't have to be spectacular, but he has to be pretty good, right? I think the defense, but the two things would be defense has to be much improved. Last year, they were the worst in the league. They have to be much improved and take the ball away. Then you have to rely on the run game more and have a solid run game. Because if you don't have that, I think it's going to be difficult. I think one of the things they like about Daniels is he can help the run game, because now you have to worry about him in that department, and maybe it takes a guy out of some run responsibility that opens it up for Brian Robinson or whomever. And so I think you have to get those two things to help the rookie quarterback, who then has to show a level of being able to contribute right away and not turn the ball over, et cetera. So that's the formula there for them. But it starts with the quarterback has to be the right guy. You know, I don't think they're going to get worse than they were last year. It was bad. And, you know, just the question is, can they win 5 more games than last year? We'll see. We'll see.
John, we'll get you out of here on this one. I want to ask you about a guy that's no longer part of the staff but was there last year. Eric Bieniemy. He's always kind of been his polarizing name around the NFL when it comes to either his head coaching opportunities or his coaching style. Now that he's gone back to the collegiate ranks and he's over at UCLA, what was that like last year with Eric Bieniemy and just him as a guy and a coach on that staff?
Oh boy. So Bieniemy is a very coaches very, very, very hard. And, you know, these guys did not respond to that. So you have some defenders of Bieniemy would say, like, they just felt like some of these guys were soft. I would say there are some guys in this team, you know, McLaurin, Curtis Samuel, who played for Urban Meyer. You know, and like, so there, I don't think it was just about that. For some guys, it may have been, right? So I think there was some of that, but I think you can take that if you're doing well, if you're helping them produce and get better. I think a big part of the problem too for them was maybe some in-game adjustments weren't there. And maybe you'd practice some things during the week or the first 15 plays, not go back to certain things, et cetera. So I think there were some issues too with, like, whether from a not from a game planning standpoint, they had a first year quarterback in Sam Howell that he asked to, with a subpar offensive line, that he wanted to throw 60-70% of the time. And it wasn't just because they were falling behind. This was the first half of games where they were throwing to that percentage. It was poor usage of personnel. They did not help a young quarterback develop. And I think that's on Bieniemy. It's also on Ron Rivera, because Rivera is the head coach and could tell Bieniemy, as he did with Scott Turner in previous years, we got to run the ball more. And he didn't do that. He let Bieniemy kind of take over with it. So I think there was, so you start with the hard coaching, but guys can accept that. And I think it wasn't just like getting on him. I think there was some, I think it went a little bit deeper than that, but I think you can accept some of that if you're seeing the results. And they didn't. So it's 1 + 1 for them equal 2. They saw this. They did not see the results. So maybe it's 1 - 1 = 0, I guess. But they didn't see the results. That was a big problem. So all the other stuff, like they, I think he also went to a tough situation for him. So he went to a place where you had to win now. You have a quarterback who had made one career start in Sam Howell. You didn't have a great offensive line, but then you as a coordinator have to then help the situation. And I think there are some people who felt like he was still calling play, or that he was calling plays for Patrick Mahomes. And it could just be like, this was his first full-time shot at being an OC. And I think he would have been, you know, he needed a few more years to develop your sense of who you are as an OC. And you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think he wasn't going to get that here because of the situation. So it was a combination of things. He didn't make it better, but it was not a great situation to walk into either.
Understood. Hopefully they can get off to a new start and a new era on Thursday with a new quarterback. He's John Keim, ESPN Commanders reporter. John, we always love talking to you, man. Thanks so much for your time.
Enjoy. Thank you.
There you go. John Keim on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We'll take a break and come back with the Buckeye Bulletin. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
If you don't like listening to Morning Juice, Bobby Carpenter's Mad Nipples will punch you in the face.
For real.
You want to fight, do you?
Weekdays from 6 to 9.
The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Rothman and Ice present Buckeye Bulletin.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services.
Don't go through another air conditioner breakdown.
For fast, friendly service, call the experts at Logan Services now for a free estimate and next day air installation.
All right, Buckeye Bulletin time. Got my guy Ryan Baker filling in for AR today. Let's go to the high school ranks because a future Buckeye received a nice honor this weekend. Bacon, it's Tavian St. Clair.
Yeah, from Bell Fountain. He's a 2025 quarterback committed to Ohio State. So that quarterback room, it's going to stay crowded, you know, regardless with these Buckeyes. But he has made it into the Elite 11 finals. So he will be competing at the Elite 11 this year. He won the Columbus Regional at Upper Arlington High School this weekend. Actually, some cool pictures of him warming up, throwing with RJ Day, Ryan nice. Day's son, which RJ wearing the ball cap while he's taking his drills. I really like that. But Tavian St. Clair, he's a guy that, again, a small school, small town in Bell Fountain. I think he got them to a regional semifinal this year. They lost to Watterson, who ended up playing in the state championship game. But this is a kid that it just keeps rising yeah. up all of these charts, and him getting to throw at the Elite 11, we know that's the best of the best in high school football. He is the seventh quarterback that's been invited now, joining Texas commit KJ Lacey, SMU commit Keelan Russell, Oklahoma commit Kevin Speary, Notre Dame commit Deuce Knight, Texas A&M commit Hassan Longstreet, and Florida State commit Tremel Jones. So there's supposed to be about 20 at this thing, they're saying now, and those are some schools, the elite of the elite there. So big honor for Tavian.
Huge honor, Bake, because this Elite 11 camp is a big deal. It's a very big deal. Some of the guys that we've watched play at the collegiate level over the past few years, some of the guys that are now in the NFL really either made a bigger name for themselves at this camp or really solidified who they already were. I remember hearing the stories from a few years ago of Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields going at it and how impressive Justin Fields was. And to some people's eye, Fields was the better quarterback in that situation. And now you look at where those guys were at Clemson, Ohio State, and now where those guys are in the NFL. So, yeah, this is a tremendous honor for Tavian St. Clair.
And it's funny you brought that up because he talked about fondly remembering watching Justin Fields beat out Trevor Lawrence for the Elite 11 Finals MVP in 2017. So something that he's had his eye on. Now he gets to participate in that pretty big honor from him. Devin Brown, Air Nolan, a couple quarterbacks now in that Ohio State room that competed in this as well in the past.
It's going to be very interesting, Bake, to see what happens with that quarterback room after this season. Like, we were still, I think, a little bit in the gray area with who's going to start this year. That'll unfold itself. But the youth and the talent in that room at the moment, it's a strong room right now.
Listen, that transfer portal window's still open. It's going to be interesting to see what happens the next couple of weeks in that quarterback room.
That's very real, and how much information they've gotten from, you know, Coach Day, Coach Kelly, all those guys that are going to make the big decisions. I don't know how that game works, but whether it's Lincoln Keenholz in the future, Aaron Nolan, Julian saying, somebody's going to be spinning the rock, and I think, you know, at least for me, I really trust those coaches and what they are able to do specifically with that position and as an offense. We mentioned Tavian St. Clair, and I took a quick glance over at 24/7 and their player football recruiting rankings for the 2025 cycle. So you've got Tavian St. Clair, according to 24/7, is the sixth best player in that class, and you glance up within that top five, and it's Naheem Alford, a cornerback. He's in the tie. He's the fifth-ranked prospect, and then third in that class is Devin Sanchez, another corner that is in that 2025 class. So you've got these five-star guys right now. Three of the top six in the 2025 cycle are committed to Ohio State, and the two that I just mentioned, those corners, that's Coach Walton, man. That is Coach Walton getting out there on the trail and getting busy, coming back to Ohio State, which he knows very, very well. But that's a positive to see because you remember the run under Kerry Combs years ago, right? With the Lattimores, the Robies, and all of those guys, Akutas, other like that, were just absolute monsters on the islands. Seems like we have some type of recruiting momentum that was similar to what Coach Combs and Urban built a while ago.
And I've been saying it for a long time. We've been given a ton of flowers, rightfully so, to what Brian Hartline has done in that wide receiver room. I love that Coach Walton is starting to get his because the class last year with Calvin Simpson-Hunt and Jermaine Matthews, two guys in the top 10 in the country. This year, Aaron Scott and Bryce West, not only the top two cornerback prospects in the state of Ohio, but in the top 10 in the country. Now in this class, you mentioned Offord and Sanchez, and there's a possibility of them getting two more. They could have four in that top 10. Oh, buddy. Yeah, Tim Walton is doing some work, and it just makes me excited because I think we're going to get that from James Laurinaitis too. So they're going to be having top 10 prospects all over the place.
Yeah, Coach Walton's in the kitchen right now cooking up some good meals for sure. And look, we're talking about players down the road. How about the secondary and what that looks like on paper this year?
Oh, my
gosh. What they're going to be able to roll out there. Jermaine Matthews, with the experience he got to now be able to roll in with those vets out there on the in the cornerback room. And then Caleb Downs, potential for the secondary is to the roof. It really is. That is today's Buckeye Bulletin. Top of the hour. We got a deep dive ready for you. And according to a former NFL star, if a certain player is healthy, this team can print the shirts when it comes to their division. We'll tell you who and what was said next, and if we agree. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
A lot of hosts have been on our airways in the past 30 years. Some good, some bad, some really bad. Anyway, sorry for that. The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every goal, every game, every point, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a game-winning goal in the final seconds of OT or a shot on goal in the first period.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Views.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for a deeper dive.
Sponsored by Maxima Concrete. Visit MaximaConcrete.com today to schedule your free estimate.
Welcome back in. Matty Ice, Ryan Baker, CB, chopping it up with you on a Monday. Bake doing double duty. You're built different, big dog. You're just built different over there, man.
Just a big dumb animal.
Bottom of the hour, Charles Davis, NFL Network draft analyst. He'll hop on with us, answer some of the hot questions going into Thursday. Drafts in Detroit this year. Drafts in Detroit. Went to a Tigers game a few years ago. Nice little ballpark up there. My friend, when he played football at Bowling Green, the MAC championship was held at Ford Field. And one of those games, I got to watch Aaron Donald completely wreck. It wasn't the MAC championship. It was a bowl game when Aaron Donald was still playing for Pitt there. And watching that live and in person was like, oh, okay. Like, this is what's to come. And then to follow his career after that was pretty eye-opening, because that was just crazy. It was like men amongst boys type of stuff watching Aaron Donald. Anything up in Detroit for you? Ever spent some time up there?
I went the last year that the Joe Louis Arena was in existence. I went up and watched a Jackets Red Wings game there.
Gotcha.
But that's the extent of my Detroit experience. Maybe one day, Maddie, when they get a WrestleMania at Ford Field, you and I will go up there.
You know what? They just had SummerSlam there. Didn't they? A couple years ago.
I'm sure they did.
And I think that's when
Cleveland this year.
That's when Jey Uso started yeeting everywhere, man. was up at that SummerSlam. But you're right. SummerSlam in Cleveland, I think August 3rd off the top of my head.
Right.
It's a Saturday, so that will be a good time. And who knows? Maybe the final boss, The Rock, may make an appearance there. So yeah, super excited about that. Speaking of Detroit. Doesn't Detroit, they put the sauce on top of their pizza? Am I crazy in saying that?
This is the Detroit style, I guess.
I've never had it on top. How is that?
Pizza Hut did it once, and I got it, and it was okay.
It was fine.
Still tasted like pizza.
CB, Detroit-style pizza, in or out for you?
I'm okay with it. I think it's better than the Valley style, where it's like the non-cooked cheese and whatnot.
They put the cold cheese right on top.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that.
Like a Lunchable?
So I would prefer the Detroit style over that.
Okay, yeah, I'm with you on that.
I have not tried the Valley style. I need to do that once, because it's hard to say, it's no good if you haven't tried it, so.
Well, my palate as a kid did enjoy a Lunchable with kind of the cold cheese, right? Like that worked
then
for me.
Then you'd probably like this.
Okay, then maybe I would. It usually comes down to the sauce.
I've never had a pizza Lunchable.
Really?
Never.
Back in the day, never cranked out a Lunchable?
No. I have Lunchables in my fridge right now for a snack every now and then. Not the pizza, though.
The Lunchables is just a snack. What are you going with that? The ham and cheese and the crackers? Is that
bologna, turkey, usually what I like.
You know, I used to kill bologna sandwiches growing up. Like, that was big for me, right? You fry a piece of bologna. You know, you split the ends there so it doesn't curl up.
That's you ever done it up in Waldo? The big, thick fried bologna you're famous for?
I don't think I would like
that. The GNR Grill or GNR Tavern, something like that.
I don't want to say I just like the thin bologna works for me. You get your little bologna sandwich with some caramelized onions and some yellow mustard on that thing.
They put the onions on it.
Okay,
you
may be able to rock with them. Bologna sandwiches, CB. Yeah, you're there.
I'm okay with it.
Okay.
It's not my go-to, but I'm okay with
it. Okay. Let's get down to business, because the division that we talk about most is the AFC North. And there's always a high level of intrigue and usually a high level of play when we talk about Ravens, Bengals, Browns, and Steelers. But we have a former Bengal in Mr. Chad Ochocinco, a.k.a. Chad Johnson, that had a take about the Cincinnati Bengals. Let's hear this, Bake, and let's react after and see if we agree or not.
From a team perspective, offensively, we are built to beat them. Why? Because we have a special quarterback in ourselves over in Cincinnati. One that can match up toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes. Also, in crunch time, when it matters most, it's 2 minutes on the clock, and you know you need to score?
Yes.
We also have a quarterback on our end that can go get it done and make the right throws at the right time and not turn the ball over. Defensively, we've always had the supporting cast. We've always had the personnel that matches up well against them. Sometimes it's like that. There's always a team that has your number, right?
Yeah.
No matter what you do. You don't see them that often until you get to the playoffs. But for some reason, when it comes to that chess match, you always have the pieces that fit very well. And it's always a good game when you face that team. Now, again, the Chiefs have always, even though we're 3-1, the Chiefs have the Super Bowl. They have the accolades. They got the Lombardis. We just haven't got over that hump. If we get a healthy Joe Burrow, you already know what's going to happen. That AFC North is a wrap.
So there's two jumping off points here. First bake is identifying what Ocho Cinco was saying, and that sounds coming from the Nightcap podcast with Shannon Sharp. That was the other voice you were hearing in the background. Those guys, obviously, after, you know, late night games, will hop on and just talk about everything going on. Pretty entertaining stuff, especially in football season, if you want to rock out with those two. But when he talks specifically about that Chiefs matchup, they do have that feather in their cap. More than anybody around the AFC side of things, right? Whether you look at Baltimore, Buffalo, some of these other teams that have been good teams that haven't been able to get past the gatekeepers and Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid, they don't have that lack of confidence in that locker room. Talking Cincinnati, they know that they can do it. And they're 3-1 against them and had to get past them, obviously, to get to a Super Bowl a couple years ago. So I think that's a great conversation to have. To me, it's not even a conversation because they are the team, Bake, in the AFC that has the most confidence when it comes to facing the team in the yellow and red.
When it matters most, and is that the playoffs, I think that's when quarterbacks and coaching matter the most. That's why I rode the Chiefs all last year. Because they had the quarterback and the coach, that duo that I was most confident in. And when you talk about quarterbacks to me, you got Patrick Mahomes up here at the top of the ladder. You've got Joey B, a rung, maybe two rungs behind him. But right there, real close. And then there's everyone else to me, four or five rungs down. So when you've got Joe Burrow, when you've got the guy that's who I believe is the second best on the planet at what he does, which is the most important position in football right now, yeah, you've got a shot. And if Joe Burrow's healthy, there's no way I'm betting against the Bengals.
Now, do you agree with Ocho that just Ravens, Browns, Steelers pack it up if Joey B's healthy when it comes to the North?
Now, regular season football is a little bit different, and I think it's tough to just, as you like to say, print the shorts because shirts. That defense is so good.
We don't print shorts at my factory.
Well, officially I kind of slurred it there.
The shirts season. If you want me to add shorts,
I mean, to the website, I would like some shorts.
You're a year-round type of guy. Whatever you just heard there, by the way, I don't know what that was. It is officially print the shirts season.
See, I said that, Bake, a couple weeks ago when our Reds came back from Philly.
Yeah.
And we were 4-2. And I was riding the high right now.
Well,
right
for the then. Division, I mean, I think that's fair, right?
Okay, look, we're not far back, but CB likes to throw that out there. But CB won three games in a row this weekend, so play it again, actually, because it might be time. It might be time to say it again.
It is officially print the shirts season.
There we go.
But we know the Ravens, your Ravens are good. They've added some pieces, obviously. They're going to be a great team. The Steelers, if this quarterback situation is fixed, look out because they made the playoffs with that disaster that they were throwing out there under center last year with all three of those guys. This Browns team, I mean, they don't have a lot of weaknesses, right? The only question is what they're going to get from the quarterback spot. Yeah. So to say they've won the division, that's a little tough, I believe. But come playoff time, the only one that's done it when it matters, and when I say done it means beat Mahomes, is Joe Burrow, and they're right there.
Over at Bet365 right now, our friends, they've got the Ravens leading the charge at +110. They've got the Bengals right behind them at +175. They've got CB's Brownies at +550. And then the Pittsburgh Steelers at +900. No, because we're talking Detroit pizza. That's why Detroit is in my brain. We know what this comes down to. It comes down to the health of number 9. And I know you're a Bengals guy. Are you at a point now to where you're concerned about his consistent health? Or do you look at some of these as just kind of fluky things?
I mean, you've got to be concerned a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, even go back to Ohio State. Like, he probably didn't get the starting job because he was injured and Dwayne Haskins got in a Michigan game at the end of the year that gave him the leg up heading into that next spring. So fluky or not, there is a history here, but if he is healthy this season, they're in the AFC, to me, number 2 behind Kansas City.
Interesting. Okay. Because the AFC is wild.
So good.
It's so deep. Good right now, and you may have another team like, let's say, Anthony Richardson. That was a hit because he got off to a good start last year before he went down. They could become a very interesting team. Question mark about Will Levis in Tennessee. I like some of their offseason moves they made, but at the most important position, it's a massive question mark. But if a couple of those teams find their new guy, the Jets, I think, are going to be a team that's going to have a lot to say about this. You don't like the Jets?
I don't. I kind of liken them to the Broncos of a few years ago when everybody kept saying, oh, this Broncos team, they're just a quarterback away. They're just a quarterback away. They're just a quarterback away. Well, they were still a 6-10 team. Like, and you go back to me, how I liken it to Tom Brady, probably the best that's ever done it. He went to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They were a playoff team at 9-7. He went to the Buccaneers, brought a lot of pieces with him to that team, and in the regular season, they just went 11-5. So it wasn't like a huge turnaround for them. Now, where he made the difference and where I said quarterbacks mean the most is in the playoffs, and obviously they won the Super Bowl. I don't know if Aaron Rodgers with questions, I don't know if he can turn this Jets team that was really bad into a playoff team.
I'm a believer. I am absolutely in on what the Jets can be. I think their defense is going to be ridiculous to deal with. And we'll see what they get out of Mike Williams. I know that's a big question mark because of his injury history. But if they mess around and draft like Brock Bowers at 10,
which would be a great pick for them, I think.
I would really like that pick, but it's all going to be dependent on the guy that you talked about coming off an Achilles injury at an old age, right? You just don't know. But if that if does hit for the Jets, I can rock out with them with what I think they're going to be, but it could be the Dolphins. I mean, we'll see what the Bills can do and how Josh Allen can elevate maybe some young talent that's going to have to come out of the draft at the wide receiver position. But that Bengals team has shown us that if 9-1-5 are healthy,
look out,
right? And on the other side of the ball, I do think they need to get back to a little bit more consistent ball and defense than where they were a couple years ago as opposed to last year. I think it took a bit of a dip, but nothing crazy. But I think a big piece, I think, for Cincy this year is what can they get out of Miles Murphy? Yeah. Like, I know you got Hubbard, and I know you got Hendrickson, but they took that dude in the first round last year, so we shall see what he can do. But, yeah, absolutely. Joey B's upright. Bengals are an issue for
anybody. I like what they did at the safety spot, too, this year. It became a weakness. They addressed it.
Yeah, and that's got a guy from the division rival.
One of your guys.
Geno Stone. Didn't love that. Coming up next, Caleb Williams, he's heard some of the noise. He's heard, I guess, some of the haters talking, too. And he responded on the Pivot podcast with Ryan Clark. You'll hear what he had to say next. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
Chops his serial killer eyes, and Reeser can grow a full beard before lunch. What can your friends do? Bishop and Friends.
Weekday mornings at 9.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Rothman and Ice present Free Snap Reads.
Sponsored by the Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
All right, before we get into some pre-snap action, want to let you know at Bet365, we don't do ordinary. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Bake, I'm going to the NBA tonight for my bet, and I'm going to the Cavs game, game two tonight. Up in the land, Magic taking on Cleveland. And I'm looking at Darius Garland. His over-under for points today is 15.5. I have to imagine, this is just a guess, that Jalen Suggs is going to guard Donovan Mitchell more in this game. It was flipped in game number one where Gary Harris guarded Donovan a lot and Jalen Suggs was on DG. So I'm going to hit his over for 15.5 points at -120. And hopefully the Vandy boy can help lead the Cavs to another win at the crib. What do you got?
All right, I like that. The Reds, they're starting a series tonight with the Philadelphia Phillies. Ranger Suarez is the pitcher for the Phillies. His over-under on strikeouts today is 5.5.
Ooh.
-135 on the over. Now, the Reds have 205 strikeouts on the year in 21 games. The Reds do not always do great against left-handed pitching. I think I'm going to go the over on these strikeouts for Mr. Suarez.
Sounds good. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Bet365 is the official sports betting partner of the first place Cleveland Guardians, best record in the league. Download the Bet365 app today. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
And may the odds be ever in your favor.
NFL draft pops off on Thursday. We've all known for a very long time now who the Chicago Bears are drafting, and it's going to be Caleb Williams. Big AR and I have a debate on this show where I'm like, let's just get it over with. Everybody knows they're taking Caleb Williams. We don't need to waste 10 minutes of our time. Like, let's get on with it. AR is kind of team, whatever, you can get your team brand out there. You milk the clock as long as possible. Like, I don't know. Where are you at with that?
Yeah, it just seems like a waste of time. The minute Justin Fields was gone, you knew they were taking Caleb Williams. I mean, I guess maybe someone will come in and offer you a dumb Deshaun Watson type trade and you'd get the world and own somebody's next five drafts or whatever. But I don't think that's happening here. And I think the Bears have decided Caleb Williams is their future. I don't, just get up there and make the pick.
Yeah, get on with it. It sounds like, well, I was going to say the draft starts at two, but we talked to John Keim earlier, and he was pretty emphatic that Jaden Daniels is the pick for Washington.
He really was, wasn't he?
Right, it was Jaden Daniels. Like, it was no other explanation. You read between the lines there and some of the people he may talk to, and I think there's your answer there as to why he feels so confident in saying that. But what do you got?
I was just going to say, which that makes my intrigue in the New England Patriots and that number three pick even much more.
100%. It's going to be very interesting with Elliott Wolf over there. He's a former member of the Browns GM, and in that class where they picked Baker Mayfield, you know, I wonder what he identified or what he and John Dorsey were identifying and why they went with him over maybe Lamar or Josh Allen or some others, and maybe his mindset has changed. But I'm with you. New England's definitely fascinating with a new head coach and GM in the mix. But going back to Caleb Williams, this is a guy, he's a polarizing guy. He's got a lot of energy. He's got a lot of spice to who he is as a player on the field. But he's had to sit back over the last few months and hear maybe a narrative about a certain thing that he may or may not do as far as playing within structure. And he was on the Pivot podcast with former Steeler Ryan Clark. And here was a little bit of that conversation.
But I watched your pro day. Mm-hmm. And it was extremely strategic. Mm-hmm. A lot of times a pro day is, okay, let me let him do the things that are eye-popping. We saw it with, who was it, Zach Wilson. He's rolling to the left, throwing across his body. We see all those things. I've watched you do those things in live time. Yep. So your pro day wasn't about that. It was about your feet. It was showing that you could throw.
It was going back to the trolling kind of smart-ass me, because everybody wants to. If you go look at the stats, I have a screenshot of it. Go look at the stats, and on average, I am the most dead center even dude for scrambling and throwing in the pocket. It's just, I make more highlights, and so that's what they show. But dead even stat of scramble to pocket, I am the most dead even on the farthest end of the spectrum from anybody else. As we know, X and Y axis, I am the farthest from all of them. In every single way. And so to all of the people, I can do anything and everything as I want, and as my team needs, and whatever it takes to win a game. And so that's that.
I can do anything and everything as I want. The dude does not lack confidence, and I'm actually kind of here for it.
I mean, you got to, right? You're selling yourself here, and you got to be calm. I mean, you can't have a quarterback that doesn't have confidence. Mm-hmm. Maybe some people don't want to hear it, but, you know, this is what it is. These guys are asked questions. They're given platforms. Yeah. I don't know if I totally agree with him, because I'm not sold on Caleb Williams and what kind of a pro he's going to be, but he has got to be sold on him mm-hmm. and himself, and good for him.
He's walking into a great situation. Right. And so if.
Well, hold on. What are we. The fact that the team around him is kind of okay with Chicago, but Chicago hasn't produced a great quarterback in a long time.
That's fair. I think outside of the quarterback position, you'd be hard-pressed to find a number one overall pick that stepped into a better situation that he's about to step into with the likes of DJ Moore and Keenan Allen and DeAndre Swift and Cole Kmet. Like, you just don't see this with a number one overall pick. I mean, look at what we saw last year with Carolina. Like, that's usually the vibe that you get in the roster construction that you get around the number one overall pick. I hear you over there because people have been beating us over the head with this generational talent, next Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning type of prospect to come out. He's got to go out and do it. But if he is that guy, they can be a scary team in year one. I truly believe that. And Jared Goff and Jordan Love and that division, you're not as comfortable now because you got this guy that can be really good right away with the supporting talent that he has.
And to your point, in that division, we don't know what Minnesota's going to do.
Yep.
Are they going to mortgage their future here to go up and get a quarterback that doesn't work out?
Mm-hmm.
We know there's some weapons there, but we just don't know. Green Bay, is Jordan Love the real deal?
Right.
Is he going to have a regression in his second year as the starter? Detroit, we think they're going to be pretty good, and we think we know that the talent that they have. Yeah. But this division may not be the toughest either, to your point.
I think that's fair. I'm with you on Green Bay. I know AR is a big believer in what he saw and when he thinks they will be. I need to see a little bit more, just a little bit. I like Jordan Love. That was a young team that got hot at the right time and rode that wave into the postseason for both, honestly, Houston and Green Bay. Now that you got a target on your back week in and week out, these veteran-laden teams are going to be trying to get after you and really see what you got. So this seems like they found their guys, but sometimes you got to go through a little bit of struggle to really get to the fruitful stuff on the other side.
And with Green Bay, you're losing Aaron Jones, who's been a pretty productive running back for a long time there. Now, I know A.J. Dillon is on the squad,
yeah.
But you never know.
And you lost him to a division rival.
AR's Minnesota Vikings.
Speaking of a good landing spot, whatever rookie quarterback gets there, whew, Justin Jefferson, Nattison, what's up, big dog?
I will say, just because this is pre-snap, I do want to let you know that there has been a quarterback trade in the NFL just right now. Don't worry, it's not a big quarterback name. It is Zach Wilson. He's going to the Broncos. It looks for like a late draft swap in like the 200 range.
What's Sean Payton up to?
More guys for Payton to work with.
What's Sean Payton up to? Those are your pre-snap reads for today. When we come back to the NFL draft with one of the best NFL draft analysts in the game, Charles Davis. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
Big voice guy here to remind you that you're listening to The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Okay, thanks. I have three more seconds. Bye-bye.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Dog friendly. And if you ain't down with that,
we got two words for
you. This is Rothman and Ice.
All right, welcome back into Rothman and Ice. It's time for us to link up with one of the best in the business right now, Charles Davis, NFL Network draft analyst. You know him for covering the NFL better than most. Charles, thanks so much, man. How you doing?
I'm well. Thanks for having me. Hope you guys are doing great.
Yeah, man. Really excited to get the Thursday night. Let's start with the wide receiver conversation. Our guy Marvin Harrison Jr. looks like he's going to be called fairly early in this draft. I think it would be a surprise if he had to wait. But I think for some, the debate over the last few weeks has been Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison Jr. You've studied the tape. You've studied, I'm sure, all these guys' routes and games and all those good things. What do you see when it comes down to that debate between Nabers and Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Yeah, it's a normal debate. You guys have watched these drafts for a number of years, and the way I look at it is a rhythm to almost every single draft and the run-up to it. We start, once we get to the postseason, all-star games and all that, we kind of have a projected list of who the top people are, right? So they're the top people. We praise them. They're the best. And then after a while, we all like, oh, God, we're saying the same thing over and over. Who's next? And we start picking nits at everyone. Well, maybe he doesn't do this. Maybe he doesn't do that. But this guy, have you seen this guy? and we rise people up. Not necessarily because, you know, how do I say it, without merit. But at the same time, they're fresh people. We haven't talked about them. We go through that process. And then as we get this close to the draft, we kind of get back to where we were for the most part. And what I'm saying is Marvin Harrison Jr. started this process at number one. He's going to end this process at number one. I think that people have Rome Odunze at Washington, Malik Nabers. They're more trying to break the tie between them than they are trying to put anyone ahead of Marvin Harrison Jr. when it's all said and done. He's the clear number one receiver in this draft. Is there much of a gap between him and the next one? Not as much as in some other positions, but I still think he's the best receiver in the draft.
Charles, we know part of that, obviously, as you were talking about, is this is such a deep wide receiver draft. Yeah. You mentioned those other two. Who do you like between Nabers and Odunze?
I'm a Nabers guy. I don't know if it's my SEC bias, right? I don't know exactly what goes into it, but I love the absolute explosiveness of Malik Nabers. When he catches the football, there's a fury that goes with him in catching it and turning it into more. There's a fury in how he runs routes and breaks himself free. And I feel like over the last year, year and a half, he's added a little extra polish to his game. Used to be what I call a beat-em-up receiver. He just ran so furiously and played so furiously, he just ground people down. But now I'm seeing a little more of that little extra and that little dip and that little slide to his step. And, you know, sometimes things don't have to be quite as furious to finish up in the same place. And I think he's discovered that. But don't make any mistake about it. He kind of comes from the Michael Jordan school of he can perceive anything as a slight and turn it into fuel. You know, how you said good morning to him could take him off that day, you know, and that's just kind of how he operates, and he operates very well. Odunze, I think, is a terrific player. I really do. A lot of people that I really respect have Odunze ahead of Nabers. Route running, ability to go up and catch the football, body control, toughness. Remember, he has the kid who had the rib injury. They didn't want him flying, you know, with his lung. He ends up driving 20-something hours, and they had an open week, and he played the next week. He's got a lot of toughness to him and a lot of the same qualities that Nabers has in terms of wanting to be the best and putting the work in. But I like Nabers a little bit better.
Charles Davis, NFL Network draft analyst, joining us via the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. All right, Charles, let's go to the top. And by the top, to me, I think the draft starts at two. I think the Caleb Williams stuff with Chicago is done, and the intrigue seems to be around the Commanders and what they're going to do at the most important position, whether it's Drake May, Jaden Daniels, maybe someone else. When you look at where the Commanders are, some moves that they've made this offseason, what makes sense to you for them at number two?
A quarterback at two would be the trite answer, right? Get a quarterback. Duh. They've been trying to find their guy for a while now. What I think it's going to come down to is a brand new GM in Adam Peters, brand new head coach in Dan Quinn. I would expect them to be somewhat cohesive in this first draft where they really work with each other on this, present their cases on who they like and why. And Adam Peters holds the tiebreaker as a GM. I believe he has the 53 in his contract. Well, so that's great. But I'm feeling like Dan Quinn's going to make a compelling case to him that as a defensive coordinator, the quarterback that scares you the most is the one who can throw the ball downfield, can make all the throws you want, but then run you into submission as well. There's no doubt in my mind Drake May can run the football. We've got a lot of Justin Herbert in him when I watch him play. But the one who runs to hurt you, the one who runs to kill, as close to Lamar Jackson coming out without being Lamar Jackson, because he's not, but he runs it that way, that's Jaden Daniels. And he's 207 pounds. I think he'll get a little bit bigger. Not a heck of a lot, but it's a real 207 as opposed to last year Bryce Young's water weight, 204. So it's a different style of what they're doing. And he'll learn, hey, you better get down, you better slide, you better do those things because you won't last long in the NFL. But it's like that Dan Quinn will want that quarterback because that's the quarterback that keeps him up at night as a defensive coordinator much more than any other style. And we'll see if Adam Peters goes along with him because Peters could make the case. Drake May throwing the ball downfield to Terry McLaurin, to Jahan Dotson, whoever else we add to the mix. I like that. Brock Purdy, he may have been Mr. Irrelevant. He led the league last year in yards per attempt and yards per completion. He keeps close to, he's like at 9 yards or more each time. That's a big number. Going into the Super Bowl, he was at that number. Patrick Mahomes was trying to approach 7. And it seemed very weird in everyone's mind. Like, hold on a second. Which one's the gunslinger? Which one's the manager? Different way of doing it. But guess what? Purdy got it done because he had the receivers that could do it. May could do that for them in Washington, too. So I'm eager to see how the tie is broken. But there's no doubt in my mind they stick it to and take one of those quarterbacks. I think it's going to be Daniels.
The most intriguing team in this draft to me is the New England Patriots. No Bill Belichick. They're in a prime spot at number 3. We know they need a quarterback, but they have a lot of holes. They could trade back in this draft and fill. What do you think we'll see from the Patriots on Thursday night?
I think that they're going to sit there with the phone open and evaluate all of what you just talked about. The possibility of someone maybe coming up to 3 to get one of the guys that they want, whether it's a Drake May, a Jaden Daniels, a J.J. McCarthy. All right? They will evaluate all that, but from where I'm sitting, and this is much more of a gut feeling instinct, and sometimes those are the worst things that you can have. An old FBI buddy told me, if I was ever working a case and I went off of gut feeling, I usually screwed up the case because then I tried to make the case fit my gut feeling. So it's a great lesson to learn, but having not really spoken with those people, to me, it's a new era. And sometimes you got to announce to everyone it's a new era without saying a word, and that's sticking at 3 and taking the quarterback you like. And to me, I think it'll be Drake May at 3, and they get to grow with him. Because remember, they got Jacoby Brissett there. So the pressure isn't on them as much to say, hey, May's got to be there game 1. Because remember, he's a redshirt sophomore, just 2 years of college. He hasn't thrown as many passes as others, hasn't played as much as others. But I really like this kid. I know he keeps wanting to say he wants to be Josh Allen. I keep looking at him and seeing more Justin Herbert. Either one, not bad.
Not bad at all. Charles, here in our last minute, I have to get your take on Michael Penix because I've heard just a couple different things. People are worried about the injury history, and some people look at it as he gave you 2 clean years at Washington. Yeah. Just talk about Michael Penix and what you think of his draft status.
Yeah, I think you've encapsulated it pretty well. Certain teams are not going to be able to get past the injuries. Others will say, hold on a second, last 2 years, he's played the most ball you can play. Right? He played almost a full NFL season last year, going to the college football playoff and answer the bell each and every time. He is the classic throw the ball downfield quarterback. How many times have you guys seen him when his feet are trapped in the pocket and he just throws it and that ball just comes zinging out of there? He's that old school. When I say old school, he's that style of player. Who's he going to appeal to? And is he truly a first rounder? I will tell you this. Most team scouting departments have him as a second rounder. But once the coaches got involved in the process, they like him, who the kid is, they like him on the board, they like his demeanor, and they love his arm. If the coaches get a vote, he's going in the first round. And we know that the Raiders really need a quarterback. Could they zero in and find a way to get Michael Penix? Because somewhere Al Davis is like, throw the deep ball, throw the deep ball. That's what we do with the Raiders. And guess what? Michael Penix fits that bill very well. When you get outside of the big 3 quarterbacks coming off the board.
He's Charles Davis, NFL Network draft analyst, and a lot more. Charles, we always appreciate your time. Looking forward to watching you come Thursday night, man. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me. Great to talk with you guys again. Continued success to you both.
Appreciate it. Charles Davis, NFL Network draft analyst. We'll hit the finish line of the show next with Tell the Truth. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
The Fan is live and local with Morning Juice. Caffeinate and dominate.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 9.
The Fan, Ohio sports destined.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Tell the Truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
All right, CB, it's your time to take over, big dog. What do you got?
All right, I want to start with the story that I saw in the Columbus Dispatch today, and apologies for any of the mispronunciations of the last name here, but I saw the story on Jamie Schiesler. He is an owner and creator of a brand here, a retail brand in Columbus called Up West. And I'm bringing the story to you because he is going to be wearing his brand of jeans through his retail brand during the Cap City Half Marathon coming up, meaning he will run 13.1 miles in a pair of jeans. Mm. My question to you is, if I have this little pot of money at the end of the race that I know you would choose how much it would take for you to do this accomplishment, but could you run the 13.1 miles in jeans?
Yeah, if there's a bag waiting for me at the finish line, CB, I could power through this thing. I could absolutely power through. You said the marathon is this weekend?
Yeah, it looks like it's this Saturday at 8 a.m.
See, and I think it's supposed to be pretty warm on Saturday. High 70s, we may even touch 80s, I believe, is what I looked at when I woke up this morning. So it's not going to be comfortable, but I respect the man for getting his brand out there. It's good marketing, but it would take for me, Bake, to have a decent amount of coin at the end of this marathon for me to do this.
CB, I don't like running and I don't like wearing pants. So these are two things here that I do not like doing at all.
Wow.
And you're trying to put them together. Now, our guy AR, says everybody's got a price. Mm-hmm. There's always a price. Mine would have to be pretty high, though, because I do not want to run a half marathon.
Yeah.
And I do not want to wear jeans ever. So this is a pretty high bag.
What bag would you need at the end of this thing?
I mean,
a few grand.
I think we're thinking six figures here.
Oh, you need 100 grand.
I need a lot here.
See, we're cut from the same cloth, CB, because I like to swing big, too. When CB asks questions like this, like, AR, he's a nice guy. So he doesn't need too much money, probably because he already has enough money. And it's like we are talking about an Emmy Award winner here. But I'm always reaching for the Scott.
And let's be honest, I'd probably do it for a couple trips to Roosters. But
get you some of those Carolina Golds, huh? That's what you need? Go on, CB.
You can't handle the truth.
I skipped over the best part of the story. He's earned the nickname because of this. Denim Dude is what he's known as.
There we go.
That's a very cool story. Good luck. Wait to see how that turns out.
His real name's Jamie, right? Do I have that
Jamie
right?
Jamie is correct.
Good luck, Jamie.
Hope you do well with your jean company.
That's right. National Jelly Bean Day is today. That is the national day of today. Are these good or bad candies?
Now, normally, I am not a jelly bean guy. You know, it sticks to your teeth, and sometimes they're just really not that good. But when we hit Easter time, and those Starburst Fave Reds jelly beans come out, you know I'm stocking up so I can have them throughout the year.
It's a win. The only jelly beans my palate has ever tasted in my life are exactly the jelly beans you just laid out, because my dad is obsessed with them. My dad loves the Starburst jelly beans. I don't seek them out, but if there's a bowl full of those Starburst jelly beans, your boy will grab a handful, CB. So I guess that would make me in on jelly beans. Not a bad little treat.
Did you say I know my truth?
I know my truth.
All right, today's Daily Fan Poll, it's sponsored by ER Auto Care, Masters of Our Craft. The question is, with what pick will quarterback J.J. McCarthy be drafted in Thursday's first round? Will it be the second overall pick, in the ranges of 3rd to 4th, ranges of 5th to 7th, or the range of 8th and below?
Wow. The first thing that my mind jumped to was 3rd to 4th, just because I think one of New England or Arizona, if not both, will trade out and acquire more assets. So right now, yeah, I'm going to roll 3rd to 4th.
We were just talking in the break about New England and reasons why maybe they would not want Drake May. And I just think with all those holes there in that, the first draft after Bill Belichick, I think they're going to trade out of that. And we know Arizona's open for business. So, yeah, I think it's 3 or 4.
He ain't lying.
All right, so we know this week is full of rumors, maybe true or false, but tons of rumors fly during draft week. My question to you is, tell the truth. How many of those usually do you believe during this busy week?
None of them. And I guess that's not true. Let's say 99% of them I don't believe. Because, you know, sometimes there is smoke, there's fire there, but we just talked about the Caleb Williams stuff, and they said he really wasn't mad, it was more of a misunderstanding, so 99% of these are false.
If it's coming from NFL personnel themselves, meaning the GMs of these teams, I'm not buying anything I hear from them. If we start to get reports from the Schefters, Rappaports, those guys this week, I'll invest a little bit more in that. So I guess one side of me will believe it if it's coming from reporters. The other side, if it's coming from GMs, I don't really buy anything they're saying.
You calling me a liar?
I ain't calling you a truther.
Final question. Netflix has the roast of Tom Brady happening, hosted by Kevin Hart. It'll be live on Netflix May 5th, Cinco de Mayo at 8 p.m. My question to you is, will you be tuning in live to this?
I'm in. This is appointment watching for me. I saw Matt Cassel tweet out today that this is nothing new. They've been roasting Tom Brady for years. So I can't wait to hear from his former teammates, friends, all of that. Like, I love that Tom Brady is doing this, because it's rare that you get an athlete of his stature that's willing to let everybody just cook him. But that's, I guess, the guy Brady is. So I'm in on this, CB. I'll have my bowl of popcorn ready.
So again, I don't know if I will tune in on this live. It depends on what's going on May 5th at 8 p.m. But it's definitely a, I'm going to check in on it afterwards and go watch it on demand. So yeah, I'd like to see it.
And the truth shall set you free.
If you miss Brendan Deeg talking all things NFL and draft with us, John Keim, who covers the Washington Commanders, or Charles Davis, another draft analyst. If you miss any of those interviews or miss anything throughout the show, wherever you get your podcast, type in Rothman and Ice. Those interviews and a lot more will be waiting for you. And please subscribe to the podcast as well. Bake, appreciate you.
It was fun. Let's do it again tomorrow. I'll have all the raw updates for you.
Sounds good, big dog. Enjoy the show tonight. CB, great job on the board. Folks, thanks so much for your time. We'll be back tomorrow. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. The Fan. This is a Fan Action Update.
This Action Update is brought to you by Tipico. Gambling promo code 1-800-GAMBLER. Heck of a start for home teams on the money line in the NHL and NBA playoffs. Home teams went 14-0 on Saturday and Sunday. NHL home teams were 6-0 straight up. NBA home teams were 8-0. If you include the NBA play-in tournament, home teams are now 19-1 in the NBA and NHL postseason. With your Tipico Action Update, I'm Scotty Vegas.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Casting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars, Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus. The Fan.
Good afternoon. I'm Paul Keels. The New York Jets have traded quarterback Zach Wilson to the Denver Broncos. The deal also includes swapping a 6th and a 7th round pick, and the Jets will pay a portion of Wilson's salary. College hoops, former Ohio State guard Roddy Gale announcing plans to transfer to Michigan with new coach Dusty May. NBA playoffs tonight, Cleveland at home with Orlando. Cavs won the opener on Saturday. Also tonight, Philadelphia at New York, and the Lakers are at Denver. NHL playoffs tonight, Toronto at Boston, Islanders at Carolina. Meanwhile, opening games occur with Vegas at Dallas and the Los Angeles Kings at Edmonton. Cincinnati Reds opened a series at home with Philadelphia tonight. Off night for both the Guardians and the Columbus Clippers. And Scotty Scheffler won the rain-delayed Heritage Classic in South Carolina. This update brought to you by Nature Stone. Schedule your free cost estimate today at naturestone.com. It's not just a floor. Wow, it's Nature Stone. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every basket, every game, every point, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar, whether it's a three-pointer at the buzzer to tie the game or a player goes 2-for-2 at the foul line.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.